The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Who's got the wiener schnitzel? Let's see, next we got roast beef au jus. Who's got the roast beef au jus? Last but not least, foot long. Who's got the foot long?
PFW in Progress.
Okay, gang, you know the rules. No humping, no pushing, no sniffing hindies.
With Fred Kirsch.
Wool, host, annual, host.
Annual
meeting of
the big one, International Preservation Society, tomorrow night.
Paul Perillo.
Hey, I guess they're right. Senior citizens, although slow and dangerous behind the wheel, can still serve a purpose.
Don't you go dying on me.
And Andy.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
I beg your pardon?
The owls, they're beautiful.
Andy Hart.
For weeks.
Why is that?
How the hell do they know that I got gas?
Eric Scalavino.
I can't feel my fingers anymore. They're numb.
Maybe you should wear these extra gloves. My hands are starting to get sweaty.
Extra gloves? You've had this pair of extra gloves this whole time?
Yeah. We're in the Rockies.
For now, anyway.
So you're telling me there's a chance?
Yeah! PFW in Progress.
You fellas been doing a bit of boozing, have you? Sucking back on Grandpa's old cough medicine?
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Can I hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Guys!
Fellas, I think we could listen to the radio or something.
Well, Eric. All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Andy and I were in the middle of a business conversation.
We were, but I'm still amazed you couldn't. You used the same opening line for every show. I thought it would just come naturally and just flow.
No, I didn't actually know that the show had started. But anyway, welcome to PFW in Progress. Andy and Fred are here. Paul will be here shortly. He's in the locker room gathering quotes along with Eric. And I don't know if Eric will be here. I'm not sure because...
I think he'll be by later.
Bill Belichick is at 1 o'clock, so Eric will probably duck out for that and then go to practice.
Yes.
So Paul will be here, though, soon. I'm going to get on him.
Eric is our embedded reporter, so yeah. He has to...
A lot of news coming up on the show. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ACE ticket hotline. And I think there's a lot of interesting things to talk about today.
Of course.
Besides, you know, the game coming up, preseason game number 3, which is that's all the way till Saturday. That's like a long time from now. But I think Albert Haynesworth is on the table. He had to go to court and pleaded no contest, so he will not be having a trial. And reports are that he won't have any type of discipline
right.
from the league or the Patriots. So we'll talk about that. I also want to talk about Bill Belichick's appearance on WEEI yesterday, part of Patriots Monday, because I thought it was very interesting. First of all, Teddy Bruschi is now a regular part mm-hmm. of that interview, and I think – I don't know if it was Teddy or just the first one of the year, but Bill was really animated yesterday and talked a lot. And I thought, you know, again, the kickoff rule became one of the subjects and had some really interesting things to say about not only that, but point afters, which I kind of agree with him, and I always have agreed with him.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll talk about that. I also want to talk about some of the new additions that came to the Patriots over the weekend. They were busy. Signing players, letting players go. So we're going to talk about that as well.
And we'll have an under-over and how many times Fred will screw up the name of one of those new players.
I'm not even going to attempt it. Igbo. That's his name.
Ahedibo.
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 There's a big head in the middle. It's like me.
Anyway, so we're going to talk about
We're also
going to
talk about
that.
The game. We haven't talked since the game.
You know, that's true. We haven't talked on the radio.
And I know you weren't all that impressed, but that game left me thoroughly impressed and left me thinking two words, Freddie. Super Bowl.
Really?
Yes.
You were that impressed. And why do you say
How could
I wasn't
you not
impressed?
Be? I don't know, because you mocked me when I wrote my analysis and you called me a homer and said I could never call you a homer
well,
ever
again. Well, that's true. And anyone that picks up PFW, which went on newsstands yesterday, and sees Andy's commentary, It's true. You can never call me a homer again.
What
you actually used exclamation points.
What
in
did
your
I write
commentary.
That was factually inaccurate?
Oh, it's your opinion.
But it was all fact. It was all based in fact, performance, and what we've seen
well,
on the field.
Your opinion was based on fact. Yes.
And I just want to say that Vegas, prior to last week, prior to training camp, had the Patriots as Super Bowl favorites.
Right.
5-2 or 7-2
like
or some
yeah.
number.
Yeah. Some number.
I don't know how that cannot improve since you've seen what they've done defensively in training camp, the bodies they've added, and how some of those pieces have started to fit in.
The
Andre Carter and Gerard Mayo in his Will role in the outside linebacker.
I would agree that I don't want to poo-poo this because I'm all for declaring the Patriots Super Bowl champions in August, but you know, I think as much
or any other month of the year.
As much as the Patriots I think have improved since the lockout to now, I think there's other teams, though, that I think when you look at Green Bay, where they ended the season, they were Super Bowl champions. With
I didn't say we were going to win it, by the way. I just said we're going to play in it.
Oh, okay.
I think Green Bay is a very good football team.
With 16 guys on IR that, you know, and they still won the Super Bowl, I think you got to look at them. I think you got to look at the Saints.
Who was the last team to repeat the Super Bowl?
Last team, the Patriots.
It's hard to do, remember?
Yeah.
So hard to do that Bill Belichick wrote a New York Times op-ed or whatever you call
it. I think you got to look at the Saints, believe it or not, for their defense. Their defense is going to be, you know, we talk about the Patriots having this attacking style. Greg Williams and the Saints, they got them going too.
He's always been an attacking guy, and at some point it burns him.
I think that another team that you have to look at are the Chargers. This might be the year that they finally get it together.
That's the team I'd be looking at.
You know?
Maybe I was a little reactionary watching them too, but I think they could be very good on offense, and I think their defense, they have some of the pieces. I'm not sold on the defense, but I think the Chargers, and they also seem to really have a chip on their shoulder about the whole slow start.
Right.
And what better way to have a fast start than beat the Patriots in week two in Foxborough?
And then the other team, obviously, is the Jets, who, you know, they started off the offseason losing some players, and people were wondering, well, how are they going to make up for this? And looks like they have. Looks like the Jets are back. I still don't know about their pass rush. They brought in Maben. I don't know if he's going to help them or not.
He won't.
He, of course, they're telling us that, you know, he's done great in practice and, you know, all this stuff.
Relax. Wait until Paul gets here before you start spewing that
crap.
Well,
no, but that's another subject I want to talk about, how the Jets build up their players and the bragging, you know, the what you want to call the bombastity or the braggadocio-ness of that team and how they build these players up, based on what they see in preseason and in practice. I do think the Jets are definitely a contender in the AFC, along with the Chargers, and I think, finally, the Houston Texans.
Yeah, I'm not sold on the Texans.
But other than that, I think the Steelers are going to have a down year. I think the Colts are going to have a down year as far as teams that are usually in the race. I think it's going to be between Jets, Patriots, Chargers are your top three.
Yeah.
And probably Ravens are back in there too.
I would include the Steelers. Until they prove it's going to be a down year, I expect an up year.
Yeah, I think they're going to have a down year. Anyway, so all that stuff is on the table. Lots of stuff to talk about.
Gerard Mayo. He should be on the table.
But let's go back to the game because, you know, that's all about Gerard Mayo and what that defense did in the first half. Obviously, the offense put up 28 points. That's nothing to, something over. I don't know. What do you say?
Why can't you finish sentences today?
I got a lot on my mind.
How about you put this show on your mind and think about this show and the sentences you're spewing? The offense is expected to put up points. I don't think anyone has any doubts about the offense, regardless of Ocho Cinco and how he fits in. But the defense looked, first of all, light years different than anything we've seen for the last 3 or 4 years. I don't care what media creation Bill Belichick wants to talk about. They're in a 4-3 penetrating aggressive front, and it's damn fun to watch.
And they're doing it without three of the guys that they brought in to do that so far. You know, so
Ellis, Haynesworth, and who?
I don't know. There's somebody else I'm thinking of.
Okay, sorry. I really need Paul to show up because you're absolutely useless
right now.
Who's
the other guy that's not out there yet?
I don't.
Come
Ellis,
on, help me.
Haynesworth are the two big ones.
But there's another guy that.
Mike Wright, do you mean?
No. Who am I not thinking of that hasn't been able
Andre
to practice?
Carter is out there.
Right.
Mark Anderson is out there. Brandon Spikes?
I can't think. Anyway. But Haynesworth and Ellis, absolutely. Cunningham hasn't been out there.
Right.
Spikes hasn't been out there. You know, there's a number of guys who were slated to be factors this year that aren't even out there, and yet
but the guys
still...
that are out there look good.
Well,
Andre Carter, I'm already nominating for Defensive Player of the Year.
Carter could be the guy that, you know, is the most impacted by this whole change.
Cerebral assassin. He's got his glasses. He's from Cal. He's very intelligent, but he's ready to kill somebody.
You know, and this guy, Mark Anderson, I don't know if he's going to make the team or not, but he looks like he could do some damage in this type of scheme as well.
Yeah, I'm not as sold as on him, but I think Carter's going to have a great year, and we've talked about it before, the intrigue with Gerard Mayo on the outside in that will position that has the opportunity to make a lot more plays. He, you know, his tackle numbers will come down because he's on one side of the field, but I really think he could become a household name type guy, a sports center, plays of the week type guy, picks, sacks, forced fumbles. We saw a sampling of it the other night. He was in the backfield the first couple plays, and then I thought the best play of the entire game was Andre Carter came off right defensive end, so Freeman immediately had to roll right. Rolling to the right, Devin McCourty was coming on some sort of blitz slash delayed blitz off the corner, so Freeman tried to unload it to his hot receiver back out of the backfield, and Gerard Mayo was in his back pocket and just batted the ball away. To me, it was the epitome of you can't do anything because we're blitzing, but we still have the guys you want to hit covered. Josh Freeman, give up tonight.
Now, how much is that because of Josh Freeman, and how much couldn't you do if it was a guy like Peyton Manning?
I don't care who it is. If you put that kind of pressure on him, he's going to poop himself.
Well, but
and certainly if you have that kind of pressure and decent coverage.
Well, that's the thing. You got to have both in order to take those types of risks. You know, they always say that, you know, a guy like Brady, if you do that all the time, he's going to pick you apart. Unless you have the type of coverage,
except
Jets
when
have.
He can't.
But you know, the
Super Bowl. Do you remember what the pressure did to Tom Brady in the Super Bowl? No one is Superman against pressure. At some point, the pressure will get to everyone. The greatest quarterback
well,
that's ever walked
the planet. Well, the problem with the pressure in the Super Bowl is they were just doing it with four men.
Right.
You know, like you said, they were taking McCourty off the edge, and
but to me, that wasn't just a strict blitz. That was some sort of systematic delayed blitz. He had the flat on that side and roll to your side. Come, there was something there. I just think. They didn't have holes. You know, we've seen them try to be aggressive in recent years, you know, the last 3, 4, 5 years when they didn't have the pressure.
Right.
And guys would get exposed, somebody would be out of position. That play right there to me was the perfect same page. Three guys all on the same page, and it just worked. If they can do that with any kind of regularity.
Well, you know, and again, I mentioned at the top of the show Bill Belichick on EEI yesterday with Teddy Bruschi. I think Bruschi got him to be more specific on things. Bill was actually mentioning things like zone blitz and what you do there and and different techniques and what you can do when you're trying to put pressure, the different things you can do with a cornerback. And
that's the benefit of this defense is people are forgetting, okay, they're 4-3, but the defensive ends were linebackers a year ago. Even though they're learning a new role now, Eric Moore, Jermaine Cunningham, they were linebackers a year ago. So for them to drop into a zone blitz when Mayo's coming off the left side is essentially what they had to do full-time
right.
a year ago.
Right.
So now they're just doing it 5% of the time or whatever the percentage is. So it's not as big a stretch as if you ask, you know, Robert Mathis or some guy who is a true 4-3 every down defensive end. These are guys that are still tweener players, still slash players, even though they're looking like they're going to be primarily defensive ends this year and what they want to do. They have the ability to drop into those zone blitzes. We saw one the other night. Which game was that when the guy dropped into a zone blitz and picked off a pass? One of the preseason games recently, 77. I can picture the guy right. making the interception, but I think you could see that on occasion with Mayo or Guyton or Ninkovic coming and one of these other guys dropping into coverage. Because even though Kevin Carter didn't want to play 3-4, he's not good fit for that out. He can do it, you know, 3, 4, 5 times a game when they send that right side zone
blitz.
Andre Carter. Yes, sorry again. So that's another wrinkle. I think this defense is as intriguing, as potential filled, as exciting as we've seen maybe ever here. And I'm not saying it's better than 03-04. I'm saying it's more intriguing because of the youth, because we don't know how good McCourty can be. We don't know how good Chung can be. Back when they were in their heyday, we knew what Bruschi was. We knew what they were very good. I'm not taking anything away from them. They're better than most of the players on this defense right now. But we felt pretty certain what we were going to get from them. Now, I don't think you know what you're going to get from Carter. I don't think you know what you're going to get from Mayo in this new role. You don't even know what you're going to get from middle linebacker, from Spikes or Fletcher, who has looked very good in his role at middle linebacker. To me, there's a lot of intrigue on this defense.
And as you said, they'll get a really good test week number 1 against the Chargers.
Or two.
Two, I'm sorry. Yeah, week number
one. We're
just
looking past the Dolphins.
I always do that.
I would too.
Yeah.
I mean, when they're not happy with their rookie running backs or they're signing Larry Johnson, things aren't exactly roses.
Well, I don't want to look past the Dolphins because they're always a tough out. But
if you beat the Heat, you beat them. Yeah. You beat the Dolphins. The Heat is it.
True. I'll rephrase that. They'll get a good early test against the Chargers.
Yes.
In week two, because that, other than the Patriots, I'd say they're the premier offense in the AFC.
Certainly.
I think the Colts are down.
They have some injury questions. I saw that Floyd got banged up the other night, got a concussion on a catch. But they have a lot of weapons. You know, I didn't realize this last year. I knew he got off to a hot start, but Antonio Gates had 10 touchdowns and missed 6 games.
Wow.
I mean, we think Gronkowski had a great year, and he's a rookie. It's a different role, but 10 touchdowns, missed 6 games. He could have easily had 15, 16 touchdowns last year.
All right, well, let's break down this game a little bit. Let's start with the offense first. I think he was 11 of 19, 160 yards or something like that.
Ish.
Something like that.
111
one
passer
touchdown,
rating.
To Ocho Cinco. I think Brady looked fine. A couple plays where I think, again, he might have been off the page with the receiver.
Mm-hmm.
There was one play where I think he just kind of threw it away toward the middle of the field.
I thought he looked a little skittish after they, in the second quarter sometime, after they had already driven down the field 3 straight times, whatever, they started to get some pressure on him a little bit. Some guys kind of falling, hitting his legs. There was one scary
there was
play.
One, right.
But I thought he started to get a little skittish back there. I thought he had a little Manning happy feet. And maybe it was because it's preseason and he said, I'm not getting hit by anybody in the preseason. I thought that was the only downside to Brady. Other than that, I thought he looked very good, as expected. The Ocho thing, not on the same page. I don't care. I mean, I care, but I think it's going to come. I haven't seen anything that tells me Ocho's just done, that he can't be a receiver in this league anymore. I've seen a guy that's not comfortable, that probably spent too much time in a system he got too comfortable with and too much numbers-based where, you know, it sounds like Cincinnati, it was, Z-something, 989. You had 3 numbers. You knew one of your numbers. You ran a route. Well, that's about as far from you can get as the Patriots game where you have to have a read on every play and there's a lot of language. I'm not worried. I think he's going to be fine at some point, and I think they have enough weapons that if he's takes till November, well, okay, you got to use Hernandez more, who was a hot guy early in that game. You got to use Welker more, who caught the first pass. Branch didn't catch any, but I expect him to be.
Right.
He'll have big games at some point.
I don't have to worry about him.
To me, the offense, the only story on the offense right now is Ridley and whether he could be in the mix.
Well, the good news is that whether it was Ridley or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis in the first half, the running game seems to be doing pretty well. Now, again, it's one game against one team, but you look at that offensive line, and there's some pretty good players on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even with, you know, Dan Connolly at right guard, hey, you know, he's proven himself there. And
yeah, we signed the only guy who beat the hell out of him last year in Sean Ellis, so that can't happen again.
Right. But, you know, you've got your bookends, whether it's Matt Light or Solder, and then you got Vollmer. And then, of course, Logan Mankins and Copen are proven veterans. That's a pretty good offensive line. They're going to be able to, you know, grade some road, as they say. And I think they should be pretty confident when they're running the ball, whether it was Woodhead or Ben Jarvis Green Ellis.
Woodhead, to me, is a bright – because I was a little hesitant that he might be a one-year wonder, that teams might figure him out. And
if you give him a little space, he's gone.
No question.
And
he
he's
had
got
that
great
cutback
vision.
Run
yeah.
the other night. I think it ended up like a 20-yard run down the left side. He started off to the right.
Yeah,
I'm starting to think he is going to be maybe not quite as good as he was last year, but good in that change of pace role.
Like, you look at the way Woodhead runs. If you put him in a zone-blocking scheme like the way the Broncos used to, you know, run block, where they'd kind of go in one direction and then the running back would pick his lane. That's the kind of running that I've seen Woodhead do, and he's pretty darn good at it. Now, Ridley's a whole nother subject. I mean, I think at the end of the day, he could be better than both of them because he's the kind of guy that, you know, whether the play calls for just hitting it up the middle or going around end, this guy seems to have, you know, the type of wiggle that neither of those two have.
I mean, I think Woodhead has a little wiggle to him, but I think the most well-rounded back on the depth chart right now is Ridley. And I think in 2 years, he's going to be your lead back. I do.
Yeah.
I think he has a bigger, big play upside than Green Ellis. I think Green Ellis is always going to be kind of what he was last year. Steady, sure-handed, 4 yards, fall forward, whatever. But nothing special. Nothing that other teams will say, we got to watch out for Green Ellis.
Did you detect any type of improvement in Green Ellis in his speed or quickness at all?
I know that was a little bit of the talk.
Yeah.
I haven't seen a ton of it. I mean, maybe slightly, but I just don't think that's in him. And I don't think you can learn that or improve that much at the pro level in that area.
And Welker, I mean, he got popped a couple times, you know, pretty good, but I mean, he's going to catch 500 passes this year if he wants to. If Brady wants to, I mean, I just think...
It'd be a good year for it and a contract year.
I just think they're going to be able to do whatever they want.
I mean, he's caught more balls than Larry Fitzgerald, yeah. So he should get 9 years and $130 yeah. million, right?
You know, if they can establish the run, keep the tight ends in the game, that's going to make life easy for Wes Welker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because teams are just going to say, we just got to give it up to him because... We can't let these guys, these tight ends, go down the seam. We can't let the guys go on the outside. The thing that we can give up is the
7 little
yards underneath
to Welker,
stuff. Right, right. So
yeah.
It's a 100-catch season for him, even with all the other weapons on the team.
Could be. I mean, he certainly hurt last year. He caught 86, so
right.
Certainly not out of the realm of possibility.
So then we get to the defense, and, of course, Jerod Mayo had the kind of game that, you know, we saw flashes of what this guy can be in a 4-3,
mm-hmm.
and it all looks good. All the guys that we mentioned at the top of the show that aren't in there yet should be able to benefit from this type of system. You know, obviously Wilfork in the middle. Kyle Love, I thought, had a really good game. And
I like Kyle Love a lot. He is a guy that I was a little surprised that he is performing pretty well in this 4-3 front. I thought he might be a guy that might not have a role here if they get away
he
from the
two
gap.
He seems to have pretty good quickness.
I am surprised.
Yeah.
I love him. I think he's a hard worker. I think he's a nice guy. I think he's the perfect backup, you know, fifth, sixth defensive lineman. He has that Wilfork look. He loves Wilfork.
Yeah.
Seems to just follow everything Wilfork does, that whole
You know, and
shit.
I mentioned it yesterday, just the mere fact of bringing in guys like Andre Carter and Sean Ellis and Haynesworth, I wonder if that's just raising the competition and the play level of these younger guys. You know, just the having these names in camp,
Well, they've all flashed, though, last year. Like, Pryor can't stay healthy, but he's flashed.
Yeah.
He's surprised people when he passed Brace 2 years ago, I guess it was, when he passed him up. You know, they have, you know, we talked about it, they have a lot of bodies on the defensive line. When you include all those defensive ends, it'll be interesting roster time. That's why a guy like Brace, who's on PUP, I got to think is just going to stay on PUP. Even if he got healthy now, there's no reason.
Yeah.
In case you have injuries later, I mean, you might need him in November.
All right, well, lots to talk about, and we'll also talk about what Bill Belichick had to say about point afters, as well as Albert Haynesworth and everything else going on with the Patriots right after this. And Matt is in the booth, and he...
Right after this.
Okay, go ahead, now. Yay!
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Cappelletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mosi Tutupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mosi Tutupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit verizonwireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Browns! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed, go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest plastic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Your attention, please. PFW in Progress has a new number. Change your speed dial to 508-298-0398.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. Young Matt is in the booth. Hey, Matt, how you doing? It's okay. You don't have to say it. Oh, good. All right. You know how to work that. That's good.
You shouldn't do that to the youngins.
That's all right. You got to, you know. It's like Brian Hoyer in the middle of the game. You just put him in there, you know, make sure he's still awake.
That wasn't bad.
You know? So Andy and I are here. Paul will be here pretty much any minute now once he's decided that not enough people have shown up and talked to him. See, most people, they go to the open locker room and they hunt out guys and they go to the locker. Paul stands in the middle of the locker room and expects them to come to him.
He's really there just to schmooze with the media and try to get gigs. That's right. Really all he's there. It's not about players. It's
cause trouble, get into arguments.
Right.
You know. So he'll be here soon. So we're talking about a lot of things. One of them is Albert Haynesworth. Now, Albert had to go to court yesterday to take care of that thing that he had. And he pleaded a no contest, which I guess he has, is it a suspended sentence or something like that, or community service? Or
160 hours community
something
service.
Something like that. But one of the things that I thought was interesting about that, besides the fact that now there are reports that he won't be disciplined by the league, which is good for the Patriots, is when he was going down the stairs saying, "Go Patriots." And you know me, I like to read between the lines. The fact that as he was coming out, that was what his team was on his mind, I think says that they probably helped him out with this situation and said, "Here's what you should do." You know, the Patriots probably work behind the scenes to make sure that if he does this, you know, what will happen, and to make sure they knew what would happen if he did that. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Patriots knew beforehand, if he pleads no contest, you know, what the court will do and also what Roger Goodell will do. And I think that maybe Haynesworth probably appreciated that, and that's why he said that, and that was what was on his mind coming out of the court. Your thoughts?
I guess that's a possibility. My thoughts are more, I think it's good to just tie yourself to the Patriots. When you're leaving a courtroom, you tie yourself to a respected organization that's known for certain things. You know, I don't think he would have been as successful leaving the courtroom saying go Bengals because now, or go Raiders, because now you're aligning yourself with a troubled home, essentially. Whereas when you align yourself with go Patriots, you're saying I'm a Patriot.
Right.
You know, I know I get this little issue, but I'm a Patriot. I'm with the good guys. I'm with the people, the straight right. and narrow, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Robert Kraft.
But for, you know, but I think for all those people that aren't sure about what Haynesworth's future is with this team, and of course Don Pompey said that, you know, he could be cut for with Belichick That's to send damn. A message. I think that, you know, this is just a slight indication that things are, you know, as far as the Patriots and Albert Haynesworth goes, Haynesworth thinks they're pretty good.
Sure.
You don't say that coming out of a personal,
he wouldn't have said go Redskins.
Well, yeah, you don't say that coming out of a personal situation like that unless you're feeling good about your employer.
Sure. But again, I think it's a way for him to align himself with rebuilding his name. But the best way to rebuild your name is to be tied with people that are good for you.
Yeah.
You know, Michael Vick wasn't going around looking for rappers, drug dealers, dogfighters when he got out of jail. Who did he align himself with? Tony Dungy. Because Tony Dungy is one of the most respected, religious, whatever, parenting with dignity, fathering with dignity type guys. You align yourself with that. It helps you immediately because people think highly of that person. I think Haynesworth gets the same boost out of this. He's aligned with Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, the New England Patriots.
One of my opening rants was how the Jets like to just build up their players, you know, in training camp. They do it all the time. Sergeant Michael Conroy from the Fort Monroe Military Police says, always a good job on what you do. Just a quick note, Pats look great. Now to my point, I was watching ESPN this morning. They again are singing the praises of the Jets, and it's getting annoying. So I did some research to prove otherwise. The Jets' overall record with the great Rex Ryan is 20-12. Sounds great. Well, they only beat seven teams at end of the season with a winning record. Also note that their last two games in 09 were against second-string players because the Colts and Bengals benched the starters. More importantly, in the 2010 season, with all their talent, they were 3-4 against teams with a winning record. Last year, the Patriots were 7-1 against teams with a winning record. I understand that the Jets beat us in the end, but they are in our division, they know our game, and had the corners to cover us. I just wanted to put this out there for people to think about. All right, thanks, guys, for reading this. F the Jets. Well, Mike, I appreciate your enthusiasm in destroying the myth of the Jets, but they're not a myth. They are good.
He left out their postseason record compared to the Patriots'
right.
postseason record over
yeah,
the last few
years. Yeah, I can't go there yet, Mike, you know, as far as they're not as good as their record says they are. No, they are good. They're probably better than what their record said they were last year. You know, that said, what I'm talking about is something completely different. I'm talking about, you know, Vernon Golston dropped his nuts in practice, you know, and he's going to be a great player now. And, you know, John Connor is the next thing, you know, since John Riggins. You know, whatever his name is. You know,
no, that's right. That's not what John Connor is. He's not going to run the ball.
No, but you would think that he's going to, by the way they
no,
talk
I wouldn't.
About
I would think he's going to blow people up, which is what they're expecting of him because they're raving about him this year.
You know, and they were raving about him last year, too, and he didn't do anything.
Rex Ryan raved about him on Hard Knocks because he was his guy.
Last
he was
year,
his
this
personal
guy's gonna
draft.
Look at him. He's going to blow people up.
Fred, you know, and Rex Ryan is Andy Hart. It was his player.
Right. Okay.
He told Tannenbaum,
and nobody,
you give me one pick,
nobody,
I'm taking John Connor.
And nobody does this in public and builds their players up like Rex Ryan in the Jets.
He's a blow. Nobody does anything like Rex Ryan.
Yeah.
He's unique.
Well, that's what I'm
of
saying.
Himself,
thank
okay?
you. All right. You know, now it's now the next thing is Plaxico Burress. He had a good game, and now, you know, he's teams are going to have trouble with him. He's going to be, you know, I don't know
that's
how.
That's what he does.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I don't know how, you know, the Giants ever lost a game, you know, or whoever team he was on.
What?
You know, Plaxico Burress.
I don't know that you want to be ripping Plaxico Burress for his performance.
No, I'm just saying
his
that
performance cost your
they,
team.
I think they jumped the gun a little bit in New York when it comes to blowing
Rex
up
Ryan
their players.
Rex Ryan does this about everything at every opportunity.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
So what does it matter? Everybody knows he's a blowhard. Everybody knows he brags. Everybody knows he's a loudmouth.
Well,
just like everybody knows that Bill Belichick says nothing, and Bill Belichick is going to undersell his team,
which makes it that much more nice when the Jets get knocked out every year.
Okay, but you know, just because it's different doesn't mean it's wrong.
I think it.
There's a lot of people in this world that believe the way Bill Belichick does it is wrong.
I think it puts undue pressure on the players when he does that.
Okay. Well, some people probably believe it's unfair that Bill Belichick's philosophy is he's not, quote, big on positive reinforcement, right?
No, but, you know, But you guys are consistent. You know, when I criticize the Jets, you run to the defense, and when I praise the Patriots, you kill me.
I like Rex Ryan. I think he's good for football. I think he's entertaining.
No, I know. You're
and
consistent.
I think he's a good coach.
You're very consistent.
I think it's been proven that when you get past all the layers of very quick, fat and funny and blowhard, the man knows football, the man knows
defense, very quick,
and the man gets players to play for him, gosh darn it.
But
let's get a goddamn snack.
You're very quick to defend Rex Ryan.
You know, and I'm very quick to defend Bill Belichick. You just don't open your ears and shut your mouth long enough to hear that.
You know, you defend Rex Ryan with his, braggadocio, but you criticize Bill
Belichick
for not saying anything.
No, I don't, actually. I say Bill Belichick is the best coach. No, I'm criticizing him because I think both are able to be criticized.
And what
but
I said.
But you'll only criticize one, where I will align myself with allowing to coach as they are, be themselves, and have success doing it.
What I said had nothing to do with Rex Ryan's coaching ability. I think he's a great coach.
Right. And what Bill Belichick does in his press conferences has nothing to do with his coaching ability.
Right. But
thank you. No further questions. Your Honor, please strike the following from the record.
And what I'm saying is you criticize Belichick for his personality, but you love Rex Ryan's personality.
No, actually, I don't. I don't criticize either of their personality. I don't.
I
defend them for their coaching because you only criticize one of them.
Because
you will
that's
never
the guy I don't like.
You will never criticize Bill Belichick for anything he does because he's a great coach.
I think
you won't align yourself with the fact that Rex Ryan can coach.
What I think that Rex Ryan does, in addition to being a great coach, is he puts undue pressure on his players sometimes.
And he gets people to play for him. He gets people to play for him.
Paul's here.
Do you really think he's a great coach?
I don't think
you do.
I think he's one of the better coaches in the NFL.
Okay.
Let's put it that way.
I'm surprised to even hear you say that.
I don't think you think that much of him. I'm not willing
to
put him in the Belichick class, a Hall of Fame coach.
I think if he wasn't a good coach
and he did what he did, his team wouldn't be as good as it is.
I think he's a very good coach.
In the NFL,
I don't think he's great.
You can hurt your team if you're not a good coach. It's not like baseball. You can.
What do you just want to go with the sprinkler offense and go from Andy to me?
But honestly, I think if you're a bad coach in the NFL, you can hurt your team. And if he was a bad coach, they wouldn't be as good as they are. You know, especially with all the antics that he does, that would just fuel it and make them even worse. But the fact that he can get away with that, he has to be a good coach.
Well, I'll tell you one thing.
I think he's a good coach.
From 1 to 53, they play for him. To me, that's half the battle in the NFL, is to get guys to play for you.
There's Mike Shanahan couldn't get guys to play for him last year in Washington.
I think he's overhyped.
He is. He stinks. Yeah. He's the most overrated coach in the league today.
Yeah. So,
I'm not just saying that about Haynesworth because he's our guy. I'm saying a lot of Redskins didn't want to play for him last year.
Right.
And the quarterback was at the top of the list.
Anyway, I will defend the Patriots and Bill Belichick. The Ace Ticket Hotline is 508-298-0398.
I don't even know what that means.
Al from Georgia is on the line. Hey, Al.
Hey, how you doing? Good afternoon there, boys.
Good. What's up? Wake you up there, Al?
Hi, Al.
Yeah, well, I had you on the speakerphone for a second.
I apologize to anybody who may have been walking by.
I
walked in and
down.
They were just yelling and screaming at each other.
Yeah, you need to settle this argument here, Paul. The children are upset at each other. It's time for the adult to step up.
I hate when the parents fight.
I want to ask you about the wide receiver position. And the way I've kind of broke it down is this way. It seems like that we're paired off. We got Welker and Edelman are kind of the same guy. Ocho and Deion Branch are kind of the same guy. And Taylor Price and Brandon Tate are kind of the same type of player. They have a lot in common.
I would disagree with the last two.
Well, the question is, how many different types of wide receivers are there, really? I mean, I disagree that Ocho and Branch are kind of the same guy.
Yeah. I don't think Branch is as physical.
Well, I think they're both really good route runners. I think that's what I would say.
Well, you want your receivers to be good route runners.
Then I would put a lot more receivers in that category. Yeah. I disagree with your last two. I think, yes, Edelman and Welker, there's some similarities there. But I think Branch is obviously smaller than Ocho. I think he's a lot less physical. And I don't think he's looking to go over the middle on in cuts 10, 15 yards downfield as much as Ocho Cinco is. So I think those guys
Branch will go over the middle. He'll just hit the deck when he catches the ball.
Yeah, but
he does it very smart.
He does it more in the Welker range. I mean, he's looking to run slants and short drags across the field right behind the linebackers. Whereas to me, Ocho is running legitimate in cuts at 12 yards down the field, right in the safety's mug. And I think he's more physical. I think that's the biggest difference. I think Ocho is a more physical player.
Well, my question was going to be this. You think there's a chance they keep all six of those guys, or do you think one of them's got to go?
I think there's a chance they keep them all. I don't think one has to go.
Okay.
No, I agree. I agree with
Andy. I'm glad to hear that because I have been, you know, you hear a lot about how Tate's going to get cut because of this new kickoff rule. And, you know, I'm not really buying into too much of the hype on that.
Yeah,
I mean,
I'm with you on that.
I agree that early in the season, the kicks are all going to fly out of the end zone, and the dome stadiums are probably going to fly out all year long. But you get outdoors in November, December, January, I think those kicks are going to stop flying out of the end zone.
I agree with that. I think if Tate gets cut, it's because he's not that good.
Yeah, if Tate gets cut, it's not going to be because of the kickoff rule, in my opinion.
Okay.
That he's shown no development as a wide receiver, no development as the big play option that everybody wanted him to be over the last year or so. I think that's the issue.
Yeah.
And even as a kick returner,
I also
he wasn't that good except for the ones that he took to the house.
I think his problem is he just doesn't adjust to the ball well enough. And when you're running long patterns, the ball's up there for a long time.
Because he's a fast guy.
Yeah.
He's not a natural receiver.
You need to adjust to the ball.
That's why he was never a number one receiver in college. He was third on their receiving depth chart there. I mean, it's like you want to push him into that number one receiver role, big play guy, and he doesn't really fit it. It's like forcing it.
Thanks for the call, Al from Georgia.
We're going to get those cookies from in there, Matt. Are you hiding those cookies?
Oh,
big
we didn't
box?
Get cookies today?
Well, yeah. Matt apparently wanted
big
to eat
guy's
them.
Gotta eat.
Not that many.
So Paul's here. What's going on in the locker room, Paul?
It was a little bit quieter than yesterday.
Well, how could that be?
Well, I thought yesterday there were a fair amount of guys that spoke. Yes, McCourty and – well, never mind about yesterday. We'll go today. Sean Ellis spoke a little while ago talking about, you know, the topic basically of the summer, and I think rightly so, is the – you know, the attitude, the defense, and the approach that what they're doing, you know, the changes in philosophy, ostensibly. He, you know, just talked about the importance of getting pressure on the quarterback and getting teams in favorable situations where you can do that, third and longs and whatnot. Said basically, if you can do that, you know, you dominate. You dictate what you're going to do. You allow you cannot let the offense dictate what it wants to do. You have to put them in situations where you're controlling the down and distance, and that's what he talked about. Just third and long, you can do anything you want. You can get exotic with your blitzes and get all kinds of creative, or you can sit back in coverage and you can pick your poison. I mean, it's going to be very difficult for the offense. So he talked about that a little bit. Gerard Mayo spoke earlier in the locker room. Eric was in on that. Now, Gerard tends to be a little bit of an extension of the coach, would you say?
So, sure.
I'm sure there wasn't.
He's a disciple.
Yeah, I'm sure there weren't a whole lot of nuggets coming out of that one. Gerard is very, very skilled at.
He's gotten a lot better too.
Yeah, at keeping information out of his little briefings with the media.
He's improved in that. He was always, you know, closed mouth, but now he does it with a smile and confidence.
He's a very nice guy.
Yeah,
very nice guy, Gerard Mayo.
Yep.
Beyond that, not a whole lot of activity. Just trying to think if anybody else even really
about
talked. Ocho Cinco was in the locker room for a while.
What music was he playing?
Some R&B stuff, but I couldn't tell you specifically.
Yesterday he had the lounge music going.
What is lounge music?
You know, the crooners.
Yeah, it was like
Tony Bennett.
Yeah, it was even the old school crooners. But he didn't speak to the media, not that I saw it anyway. Maybe some people individually got something from him. So it was a pretty quiet quiet day in the locker room. I'm sure Eric will come in and add nothing. I did see Kevin efforting.
Adding nothing.
Players to, do some voiceovers for the pregame social.
Oh, good.
And the postgame show.
Did any oblige?
I know Gostowski did.
Oh, good.
I yelled
nice
at him for not getting Paul Perillo in part of the promo.
Now, was it like a corny one? I'm Stephen Gostowski, and I think you'll get a kick out of the new Patriots pregame social.
No, it was more like step inside the pregame social or something like that, or join us for the pregame social.
I'd rather have the dorky stuff.
Yeah, I like how you the dorky stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Did you see Taylor Price at all?
No, I did not see him. I was going to say he was in there, but it was not him. Darnell Jenkins was sitting in his seat.
This is turning into an Eric-like update.
No, he was sitting.
I was going to say he wasn't there, but
he was sitting in his chair next to Ocho.
Do you notice that about Darnell Jenkins? Everybody sits in his seat, and he sits in everybody else's seat. If you go to Darnell Jenkins' locker, it's always somebody else sitting in his seat. It's interesting. I don't know.
You've made this grand observation after one day in the locker
yes.
room.
Yes. Extended stay. I was there for 45 minutes.
Yeah, I know, but how do you say always?
Well,
after one day.
I
interesting make... nugget out of the locker room, Fred, that I noticed yesterday, that you won't get this information just anywhere.
I did notice this today because you told me to.
Chris Copeland, if that's how you say his name.
There's no D at the end.
Oh, Copeland is a kicker out of UMass. You know, booming kickoffs. I think he, what do you have,
right.
four or five touchbacks the other day when he was kicking them through the end zone. You know the blue lockers they put down the center for the young players?
Yes.
He didn't even get one of those. He has a special blue locker next to those that's shorter, wider, and actually has a door that he can lock. It's the only locker.
Bring his own?
My guess is it's like a coach's locker that they took out of the coach's locker room or something, but it's big. Eric claims it's because he's the kicker and they needed room to stuff him in the locker, so they gave a door, but...
Eric going back to his days at BU.
That's what I said. He knows from experience. Right. But I've never seen it in there before. I mean, this is our 10th year in this
we
stadium.
We might have simply ran out and they had to bring
but
that
But last
in.
Year when they ran out, they put more of the blue ones in the side, and maybe they don't have enough of those anymore. But I just thought it was interesting with the new 90. Yeah, it is tight in there because I had to talk to Ahedebo, who you like to call in the corner of the locker room. They often don't give out the corner stalls because it's a pain in the ass because –
right.
There's really not enough room for both guys to actually be in their locker and dressing, and he has one of the corner stalls.
Oh, okay.
But he's a nice man out of Amherst. He's a liberal.
Let's see. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Yes, I asked him if growing up in Amherst in the liberal environment affected his development, and he said, yeah, you don't notice certain things until you leave it, but you grow up a certain way and see certain things.
Okay.
He also has a foundation, in case you're wondering, Hope in Africa Foundation.
Good.
And a website, James Ahedebo. Good luck spelling that. .com.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Dave in Millis writes in, what are your thoughts on Ocho Cinco's comments after the Tampa Bay game? Clearly he sounds frustrated with his own performance and not yet being on the same page with Tom Brady. Is it fair to compare this situation to the Joey Galloway experiment a few years ago? I know Ocho Cinco is more gifted, but like Galloway, he just couldn't pick up the system in preseason, and if I remember correctly, Galloway never saw action in the regular season.
Well, I think the comparison of not picking up the system quickly is certainly fair. I mean, they're veteran receivers, but I think the difference is I think Galloway is was always just a down-the-field guy, in my opinion. Fast guy who could get behind defenses. Ocho's a well-rounded receiver.
Well, I think Galloway was a better player than Andy and the emailer are giving him credit for, but I would agree that Ocho Cinco has had a better career than Joey Galloway. And Galloway did play in the regular season in 09 it was, right?
Yeah.
He played the first two games,
I believe.
Was
one of them against the Raiders?
He played against the Jets and the Falcons that I can remember, you know, egregious drops in those two games.
Yeah.
And that was it.
And the Jets one was when Brady went ballistic.
Yeah, because that was the game they lost.
Is that the one he caught the touchdown but drifted out of the back of the end zone?
Oh, God, yeah.
And he had a bad drop against Atlanta, I think, in the red zone the following week, the game that they played, I think, without Welker.
And the other issue is, I mean, Galloway was at the end of the road, kind of. I mean, even if you...
Well, that's what I was going to get to.
I mean, clearly based on the bonus money that's divided over 3 years, they're hoping that this is at least a Moss-like three-year window here.
Yeah.
I don't think Galloway, there was that hope and
I think it was a combination of Galloway where his skills diminished and he had a hard time. Whereas right now, I don't think physically, the physical part of it isn't much of this problem with Ocho Cinco. I think it's 90% mental. I still see some speed and some agility to get in
when
and out of
say,
his breaks and whatnot.
When you say mental, do you mean
picking up the system?
Well, okay, so I was going to say, you know, there's the mental where you put too much pressure on yourself.
Well,
and you're
maybe
overthinking
a little.
It.
I think there's some of that.
You think
because he, you know, the whole heaven thing.
Yeah.
I just want to be in heaven, get in heaven. Now I can Pepe and BB epic. And when you say all that stuff, there's an expectation you have to live up to it.
Right.
And I think he's probably also aware of the Randy Moss situation. I think in his mind, he probably thinks he's an elite receiver like Randy Moss. And it was perfect when Moss came here. He just came, boom, day one, 180 yards, touchdowns galore, plays galore.
Yeah.
But I think the bigger issue is just the learning the offense.
I think Moss, you know, his football acumen was underrated. He was very smart football-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Matt and Quincy, hey, guys, I'm very excited about the James Ahedebo signing. I'd just like to hear your comments on it. The kid is a killer on special teams, and I think he can even be a factor on defense. I don't think he has anywhere near the talent of a guy like Merriweather, but he's the kind of player who will push Merriweather closer to the bench because he has the chance to be a functionally better, more reliable player on the field.
I don't know how much a role he'll have on defense. To me, he's a back of the depth chart.
Well, tell,
defensive
tell
guy.
The listenership what you what impressed you about him in his first day at practice.
I didn't see him practice.
But you heard about what he did.
Oh, talking to James Sanders?
All
well, that
day.
Just shows intelligence. I mean, that shows a guy that wants – you don't go ask Merriweather about the system, right?
Right.
I mean, if you're looking to learn the system, you ask the guy who knows it. You ask the most reliable guy
well,
on the defense.
According to reports,
James
he spent
Sanders.
The whole practice
– Well, he's a smart guy. Yeah. He comes from an educational family. His both his parents were teachers and or university people. What?
According to reports. I told you.
Yeah.
Well, that was the report.
And where did you get it from?
My eyes.
Oh. You were there?
Yes.
Oh.
On Saturday.
Oh, on Saturday.
Ahead of Bo.
Ahead of Bo.
Eric and I were here.
Eric was there.
He spent the whole walkthrough glued to James Sanders' side, and I think that's the right thing to do.
He had to pry me off to get there.
Right. Well, Andy wasn't there, otherwise he would have. But, you know, if you want to learn about the defense, you talk to guys like Belichick and James Sanders. You know, if you, never mind. I'll leave the cheap shot to someone
right.
else.
What? I know what he was going to say. If you want to learn about something else, you talk to Brandon Merriweather.
And we like to update people on how new players look with their shirt off, and Eric's not here to do so, so I'll let you know he's ripped, shredded. Big, big traps and lats and just...
Oh, boy, I'm getting uncomfortable.
Well, you expect those guys to be. Those special teamers who had to work their way up from UMass and find a role for themselves, you expect them to be over the top. They're not usually dumpy.
Right.
It's hard to be dumpy and be a career special teamer, bottom of the roster guy.
And I would say that he has a chance probably to contribute on sub packages. The Jets used him a little bit as a blitzer, not necessarily as a cover guy, but I think he had 3 sacks last year. That's the kind of role I think that he might be able to fill that. Maybe you have someone in that Kyle Arrington role for him. No, but in all seriousness, when you put
Josh Barrett,
when you put six or seven defensive backs in obvious passing situations, maybe he's one of those guys that gets out there and his job is to get after the quarterback. Obviously, he had some success doing that for Rex Ryan, even though Rex, you know, said that he was good at it, and that was a hindrance. Although I'm not taking sides in any way on your fight.
Pierre from Paris.
Hey, oui, oui.
Bonjour.
Parlez-vous français?
I'm actually in New England on vacation, and I visited Gillette Stadium. Very nice. But most importantly, I'm loving the football talk I get here. Nothing like what I get in France. Anyway, to follow on Andy's bold prediction that the Patriots will make the Super Bowl, I'll add my bold prediction to the mix. First, Mayo will be Defensive Player of the Year. Mark my words.
Chance.
Second, Ocho Cinco will have 1,000 yards this season.
You know what I think could hurt Mayo is when he splits the vote with Andre Carter. That hurts you.
Third, Brady will be MVP for a second straight season. And for Andy's prediction, I don't want to jinx anything, but yeah, this is our year. And to finish on a game, here are my over-unders. Haynesworth and Andre Carter combined sacks 15.
I'll take the over.
I'll take the under.
Take the food out of your mouth first.
Catches for Welker, 110.
Under.
Under.
Turnovers created on defense, 30.
Under. Oh, wait a minute. How many did we get last year?
28.
We were plus 28, but how many did we force? So that means we forced 38? Didn't we only have 10 turnovers?
I think we had 9, didn't we?
9. Yeah, I'm going to go under.
Okay. G-Force TDs, 11.
Under.
Yeah. That's about right. I'll say under just that I have to say something, but I think he's going to be double digits.
McCurdy interceptions, 5.
McCurdy. It's so disrespectful that one of the best players on the team you
under.
Don't call by the right name.
Under, says Paul. Thanks, guys, and I want to congratulate you on the pregame social.
Tell a friend. Get France on board. We need some more French listeners, especially Leticia Casta.
One of the things I was thinking of adding for the pregame social was a 1-800 number.
You should.
Think so?
1-800-HOT-HOT.
Oh, God.
Or Fat Paul. That has the right amount of letters. F-A-T. See if it's available. 1-800-FAT-PAUL.
Oh, God. He's getting all excited. He's giddy now.
What were you guys talking about?
As he downs a pepperoni calzone, pretty much the greasiest calzone you
can
get.
I think they got it when I was...
Well, they didn't know it was pepperoni,
I played up the fact that I was
they
eating.
They didn't know it was pepperoni. It could have been like Eric's.
Yes,
it would
you,
have been
Andy.
Like basil and broccoli.
It's a pepperoni pizza he eats with basil.
Paul, what about
what about
Big
it?
Head instead of Fat Paul?
Oh, yeah, Big Head works, too.
Yeah.
I don't really like to stoop to those kinds of name calling
games. Mr. Draft also works.
But I do like it.
1-800-MR-DRAFT.
Well, Fred already declared you're not very good at scouting.
He's an idiot.
Young talent.
Right, project Fred. He's not good at projecting.
What was the last one you got right?
Terrence Wheatley?
Robbie Gould. You liked his kicking style.
Terrence Wheatley was his last one, right?
Right, I said. He thought Terrence Wheatley was going to be a star.
I didn't know there were any right ones that we
Robbie
had
Gould. He loved Robbie Gould, and it's the greatest regret Bill Belichick's ever had that he let Robbie Gould get away.
Jacob says he's stationed in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba.
Thank you for
I
your service.
I understood that. I thought, why are we allowed to have a prison in Cuba?
I don't know. We took it, didn't we?
Yeah, but like we're right off their shore. Isn't that kind of like...
No, we're on their shore, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's part of the island. Because I mean, the fence is, if you go by, it's like in Few Good Men, if you drive by the fence and you're dressed whites, they take pick you off because they know you're a vet.
They might think you're someone they might want to take a shot at.
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine if Cuba said, hey, can we have a prison like on Florida?
I don't think we asked to take it. I think we took
it. No, I know. It's hell here, but your Tuesday and Thursday shows help me deal with all the BS down here. Love the new pregame show with Paul and Andy. You guys rock. That turd from Jacksonville was great. I can't wait to hear your show before the Colts game, being I was raised in Indy and know the great amount of turds that hail from the city. Thank God for good parents that raised me to be a diehard Pats fan. I have one question in a little game. Any chance in two or so years Brady gets traded and we just go with Mallett?
Yep.
He could still be worth the first and second round pick by then, and with Bill, who knows? What would you take for Brady in, let's say, a minimum of 2 years from now if you had to trade him?
Well, I wouldn't have to trade him, would I? And it depends on what he is.
Yeah, if you have to trade him, his value goes down.
Right. But if he's the same guy I think he is right now, was last year, then a lot.
2-1s.
Yeah. And I also don't think that's a lot to give up for another team, because if you trade for him, you're not trading for him to be your long-term option. You're the Vikings and say, I have everything else. If I get a quarterback, I could win 2 Super Bowls in 2 years.
Yeah. If he was playing the way he played in 2010, 2-1s.
Yeah.
Does that sound outrageous?
I mean, the Eagles are looking for a 1 for Asante Samuel.
Like Andy said, that's going to put you over the hump. It's worth a Super Bowl,
right? Well, his Vikings compare, you know, yeah. I know that you don't think Andy can... you know, scout talent, but his Vikings example was a
young,
good one.
Young projections.
Right. It was an apt one.
Right.
Young projections.
Right. Even though I told you Tate would suck, Price would be great last year, you didn't agree.
Okay. Vernon Golston. Mikey Vandalism in East
Terrence
Haven.
Terrence Wheatley!
In East Haven,
you
Connecticut.
You picked a Jag with a broken wrist to be this
I
great
I pay
corner.
You to get it right.
And I more often than not do. Thank you. Sam Bradford? Right. Rashard Mendenhall? Right. Robert Quinn? Right. Taylor Price? Right.
Well, we don't know about Robert Quinn yet, do we?
Oh, we know.
Oh, okay.
If it barks as a puppy, it's going to bite as a dog.
On the flip side, let's do Paul Perillo. Vernon Golston, wrong. Aaron Maben, wrong.
One of my wrongs came up.
You got a chance with Maben still.
No, you don't.
He's on the right team now.
No, you don't.
They're going to turn him into a pass rusher.
And then,
Will they drop?
And then all right. All of my special guys that I kind of like, skill position guys from this year, they all seemingly have torn a patella tendon or two. Ryan Williams from Virginia Tech I really liked, although I loved Ridley. And he's here. And
although
he's
Daniel Thomas is getting passed up by Larry Johnson. They're signing backs because they're not happy.
Oh, I mean, all these people that are predicting Daniel Thomas to be the rookie of the year? Not so fast?
I don't think Tony Sparano is predicting that.
Mikey Vandalism in East Haven says Adam Schefter is reporting that the Eagles are looking to deal premium cornerback Asante Samuel. Is there any chance he could wind up back in New England? Our secondary has gotten a lot stronger over the past few years, but it hasn't been as dominant since he left for Philly. The thought of Asante and McCurdy with Bodden would be ridiculous and would be that playmaker we have been lacking to fill for years since his departure.
Well,
I'd love to see it.
McCurdy was a pretty good playmaker last year.
He was good. But don't you think Samuel, if he was on this roster right now, he could be that guy like in third down that could play the slot guy?
No, I think he would start and Bodden would be the slot guy, the third corner, which, again, is you play a lot. It's not like you become a bench guy for Bodden, but... I think Samuel and McCourty would be your starters, and you could potentially have a lot of interceptions, especially if McCourty's as good as we think he is, and they try to throw towards Samuel. Either way, whichever direction they go.
And I think Samuel's better on the outside,
to your logic question. Yeah. I don't think he'd play inside. I think he's got an ego.
You think they'd put Bodden inside?
Yeah, because I think he would. We've seen him. He would.
All right, webradio at patriots.com, 508-298-0398.
Would you give the 2-2s?
For Brady?
Samuel.
No.
No?
Not at this time. No.
Not at this time. I'll revisit it later.
Larry's on the phone of the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Larry.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
The reason we have, it wasn't a prison, it was a military installation, was to protect Cuba from Spain after we helped them liberate themselves from Spain's rule and become independent.
And so they just let us keep it.
Right, but okay. That wasn't why I called.
But that's good insight. Thank you, Larry.
Larry was actually there.
I sounded, don't I? Probably gray enough to have been there. I was wondering about Kindle. I know. He had a sleepwalking problem.
Yep. Yep.
And
yep.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know what you guys are laughing.
Did he get his knee taken care of when he was under treatment for that?
Did he what? Excuse me.
Did he get his knee taken care of when he was under treatment for that?
That's a great question. I do not know. I mean,
I was wondering how.
I thought he got his knee taken care of before.
Guys that, the list you just went through. I like to watch them after the fact.
Me too. Unless I'm wrong, then I forget all.
Yeah,
about
Andy.
It.
Andy forgets them. I am not afraid to admit when I'm right. Wrong. So.
But I was wondering if he had, because he got caught for drunk driving too, right?
Yeah. See, now I would completely a guy like Kindle. I'm going to say, almost regardless, it's whatever you thought of him going into the draft has got to change, because of the circumstances he's dealt with. He had a major injury that we really didn't know about when we all loved him.
Mm-hmm.
And then, he fractured his skull and missed a whole year of football. I don't know if he'll ever be able to play.
I thought he was playing now.
No, I'm talking about to the level of being a potential first-round draft pick. Now, maybe he will. Maybe he overcomes it, and that would prove that the talent that people thought they saw in him was there. But there are a lot of guys that get hurt and are never really the same. And you never got a chance to see them play at their level. And I think this might be the case with a guy like Vernon Golston, there's no asterisk there. He stunk. He never lived up to as good as I thought he was going to be, and Andy thought he was going to be as well.
Did I say that?
Yeah,
did you
did.
Did you hear that he's blaming his...
Yes, he never got a chance with Rex Ryan.
Right.
Despite the fact that Fred blames Rex Ryan for pumping up his players, he never got a chance to play for Rex Ryan.
Yeah, okay.
And you don't agree with me, Paul?
Not on that particular case, no.
You didn't watch Hard Knocks then?
I did, and he was obviously trying to pump a guy up who was lacking.
Don't say it to the TV cameras.
Unbelievable.
I can't say anything bad about Rex Ryan.
No, you could say a lot of things bad about Rex Ryan.
Apparently.
He's fat. Annoying.
I think we
know his team was still in the postseason.
I think we spent.
Talk about rump swaps.
I think we spent a good portion of the summer last year while Hard Knocks was going live.
I did.
Criticizing the cheeseburger incident.
Go back to
and
the
all
TV
that other
show.
Thing.
Go back to the TV show.
Did we not?
Yeah. He has no idea. We can't take anything he says seriously anymore, good or bad.
Larry, do you remember any of that? I know you're a longtime listener.
Oh, yeah, I think we
criticized Rex Ryan a fair amount last summer at this time for that Hard Knocks stuff.
But
not just laughing with him, but
Paul's
laughing
like,
at
him. I can criticize him. No one else can.
You can't make him out.
No, you claimed that I don't. That's,
yeah, we can't.
That's the only difference.
You make him out.
You
run to his defense whenever I say anything.
No, because you make him out to be a bumbling fool, just like you did with Mike Ditka.
And then he says, he's a great coach.
Right.
You don't really believe
don't
he's
believe
a great
it.
Coach.
No.
So don't lie and say you do. I'm sorry. Don't exaggerate and say you think he's a great coach.
I think he's a good coach, and I don't think his team could be as good as it is if he wasn't.
You've got to remember how Fred changed his view on Parcells, on his coaching capability.
How was that?
When he left the Patriots.
Did I ever say he wasn't a good coach?
You seem to intimate. Yes.
I softened my stance on Parcells as a person. You know,
when he was going to be inducted in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
No, because, look.
Now, I hate Parcells.
Okay. Can you blame any Patriots fans for having a problem with Bill Parcells? I mean, if you're not a Patriots fan,
oh, no,
I can understand that, like you two.
But you can understand?
Can you blame me for, like...
Is there a difference between hate and acknowledging that he was a good coach, he had greatness, he had skill?
Oh, yeah.
Who said it? And again, I have a problem with what he did here, you know, as I should. I never said he wasn't a good coach.
I don't.
A lot of snide remarks. A lot of Andy Hart-like jabs.
Like what?
I don't remember the specifics,
oh,
but we've heard, we've heard thousands of them. And I'm fine with that, because I do the same damn thing, and I think it's great. But don't say you didn't.
I think we need to invite Larry on the show every
Me
day
too.
For
I
a
like
segment.
Larry.
Because I think he is,
He agrees with me.
Agent, no, provocateur.
Well, yes.
He's on your side. He said he hated Parcells. Jesus. You don't listen. That's your problem.
He doesn't.
He hates Parcells. He's with you.
Oh,
he's your ally.
But I, again, who's, did I ever say I hate Parcells? You should.
It's not exactly the words. It's the tonality that really is the issue here. And you've made many comments that, you know, Bill Belichick, the day that Bill Belichick learns a thing from Bill Parcells.
Yes, that's
is
a
the
fact.
Day that,
you have, you have definitely said
I've
that.
I said that?
That's
yes.
a fact. That is a fact. That's he remembered at least one, and that's a good one.
Can you imagine
and it's not, he never said, I hate Bill Parcells, but that comment would lead you to believe that you don't have a lot of respect for his ability.
Oh, please.
And you said you wouldn't blame any Patriots fans
for having a problem with what he did here. Yeah.
Would you blame Patriots fans for not having a problem with what he did and holding it against the other side?
Yes.
Oh, okay. As long as you're fair and consistent.
I am. See you, Larry.
Okay, take it easy.
Okay, thanks Larry.
Larry. Fred just ignores the fact that we have callers to drop them at him.
Larry, I was dead serious about that. Larry was.
Oh, he was.
That was excellent. The
very
way
good.
He sort of it was like the. Agent provocateur.
And while he pretended that he's old and doesn't remember stuff, he remembers apparently everything.
Either that or he had his little crypt sheet there.
Right.
And it was like me in college.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Anthony, what do you remember?
Anthony.
What's going on, guys?
Nothing much.
I just want to ask you, Fred, what was it about Rex Ryan? What was that final straw where you're like, I can't stand this guy? Was it just the crap talking?
No, the day he got hired as the Jets coach. Which, I'm fine. That's the part of it I'm fine with.
I believe the question was directed to me,
that's
Paul.
But I'm fine with that. Hate him because he's the Jets coach. That's why I hate him. He's the Jets coach. And the Jets are the Patriots' biggest rival.
Can I tell you something, guys? Listen, I love the Patriots. I'm a huge Patriots fan. I love the NFL. And sometimes, like, to me, I take myself out of it just in case if the Pats aren't in it. You know, sometimes there's certain things about some teams. Hey, you like them and you might root for them. Would I root for them to win a Super Bowl? No. But, you know, sometimes they make some moves where you're like, yeah, I could see that. That was a darn good move, especially in that draft where they went up to the sixth pick and picked up Sanchez. I literally had a thought. I was like, uh-oh. I'm like, that's actually a damn good move. You know, and it was kind of scary. So
what did I say when they drafted him? Paul, do you remember when they drafted
him? I'm sorry.
I
don't remember that one.
Okay. Never mind.
What did you say?
He's probably going to be the best quarterback taken out of that draft.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You know what? There was just something about him.
Is that the Stafford
draft? And I knew he was coming out a year too soon.
You were wrong.
Just like Pete Carroll got bushy-eyed about it.
Right.
And it probably would take him a little bit of time. But I knew, I'm like, that's a damn good pick. But how can you hate Rex Ryan?
Hate being relative. I don't hate him. I think I agree with what Andy was saying earlier about he's good for the NFL.
He is. He's Dustin Pedroia.
Absolutely.
He entertains me.
But
he says stuff that I should want to punch him,
right.
But I don't want to punch him.
But I don't want the Jets to win. That's the difference. And it's hard to sort of balance it. It's kind of like Derek Jeter for the Yankees. I hate the Yankees. I want them to lose every single game. But kind of a hard guy to just hate. Or Mariano Rivera. You know, those guys that have been classy veterans for a long time. Now, I wouldn't exactly put classy in front of Rex Ryan.
Thank you.
But he's very entertaining, and he's a very good football
coach. I describe him the way I describe our tight end, frat boy. He's a fun guy you'd want to have a beer with. You'd want to.
I know, but he's also the head of your team.
Yeah, my team has been to back-to-back AFC title games with him leading it.
It may have gone further if it wasn't for him.
Would you put that same?
It may not have gotten there if it weren't for him. Thank you.
Would you put that same adjective in front of the Patriots head coach? Classy,
frat boy,
classy.
Yes, absolutely classy.
Wow,
classy and consistent.
How can you hate a guy that says no tucky tucky? How can you hate a guy that says that?
I can't hate him at all. I just don't see it.
I don't hate him either. I don't hate him.
No, it's the Jets.
I hate
the Jets. Yeah. I don't hate him.
Hey, but really why I called was actually you were talking about Asante before, and I want one of you guys, I'm being demanding here, I want one of you guys to call some sort of Philadelphia reporter and ask Asante Samuel, hey, how's that family thing working out for you? Are you the redheaded stepchild now?
Thank
now
you.
He just turned into Fred Kirsch, super Homer fan. But it is true. They know whether it's the team side or the player side. They should never call it family. They really shouldn't.
Yeah.
You don't cut family.
How he's feeling right now with
that
family thing.
You don't cut people who are in your family.
Do you trade them?
Huh? Mm. No, that's what it's a business.
Yeah. Well, that was it, guys. I just wanted to bring that up. I just wanted to know how the family thing is working out. Maybe you guys could work those back channels to have some douchebag call him out on it.
All right.
Take it easy.
I don't really recall him saying anything about family, did he?
I don't really either, but I assume.
No, I assume he did.
I think owners do it. You know, all on all teams. Oh, you know, now he's a member of our family, our football family, and all that stuff. I just think that's a pretty strong word for such a cold business that it is.
And for a guy you don't really know.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't do it with anybody until like 15 years in.
Well, I think.
But isn't that like part of just, you know, like take him one game at a time? It's a family.
But you know what? He's part of our organization.
But that's how I look at
those. He's a patriot now. But I think that word family should be reserved for, you know, more of an emotional bond.
I guess I just don't take it as literally as most other people do. Because clearly I'm in the minority. I mean, you've been mad for, what, going on 9 years now?
At least when Lawyer Malloy said it.
Right, and he definitely said it. I remember him saying it.
Yeah. You know, they're not a family there.
I just don't.
What does that mean?
I just don't take that so super literally like you do.
It just bothers me. You know, it's like they throw that word out. And if people don't remember when they cut Lawyer Malloy, the Bills pasted the Patriots that next weekend, 31-0. We're sitting on the bus, and Lawyer Malloy, of course, is doing the post-game interview, and he's talking about how the Patriots aren't a family, but the Bills are. And I told the bus driver, turn that effing thing off.
He did. That's a fact, not opinion.
I know. He's still mad.
But, you know, and then he gets cut by them. You know, so how much of a family were they?
Fred's seething hate was only rivaled by the play-by-play radio announcer of the New England Patriots.
We have to listen to this.
Two miserable old Homer Coots.
All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. Let's take a quick break. Matt, you ready? And we'll be right back.
This is Patriots Hall of Famer Steve Nelson here to tell you about the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit. The Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit is back and better than ever. Tuesday evening, August 23rd, will feature special appearances by Hall of Famers John Hanna, Andre Tippett, Gino Capoletti, as well as current and former professional athletes and local celebrities at Gillette Stadium. The evening will feature comedy performances by headliners Lenny Clark, Paul D'Angelo, Paul Narduzzi, Steve Sweeney, and more. With live auctions, silent auctions, and nonstop laughter, this event is a fun evening you won't want to miss. All proceeds will benefit the Mosi Tutupu Memorial Scholarship Foundation, which provides college scholarships to young athletes with learning differences, exemplifying the outstanding qualities that characterize our dear friend Mosi Tutupu. Last year's event sold out quickly, so be sure to purchase your tickets today. Visit the Patriots.com website for more details and to purchase your tickets. I look forward to seeing you at the second annual Mosi Tutupu Comedy Benefit.
He's the model of speed and precision, a machine that picks apart defenses. This is Wes Welker, part of a last-minute drive to the end zone. He's constantly on the move, and he moves fast. You're just as fast. Introducing Verizon 4G LTE, the fastest, most advanced 4G network in America. With it, you can download a song from VCast Rhapsody faster than the average play can develop. Upload your favorite photo in 6 seconds. Share 10 photos in a minute. Stream video like you're watching an instant replay through a window. It's that smooth, that fast. And it's the only 4G network that can compete with Wes Welker.
Yeah, let's go again.
To learn more about Verizon 4G, visit your local Verizon store for a live demo or visit VerizonWireless.com/4GLTE. Rule the air. Verizon. Coverage details at VerizonWireless.com.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats!
What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go Pats!
Indeed, go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010, Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398, or web radio at patriots.com.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. We'll be here until 2 o'clock. The ACE ticket hotline is 508-298-0398.
Breaking news off of my email.
Oh, yeah?
We cannot go with 1-800-FAT-PAUL. It's already taken.
Oh, okay.
It's apparently a bill collection agency in the Washington, D.C. area.
Okay. And web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Stephen Westford writes in, hey, guys, and Eric. It's time to face the music of what you guys do and take some action.
Uh-oh.
Your paper is top-notch. Well, maybe not top, but you know what I'm saying.
In the ballpark.
PFW in Progress is the best damn thing on the internet radio focused on the Patriots from 12 to 2 midweek by guys who work for the team.
Suck it.
No, just kidding. You're the best, hands down. Fred, seriously now. It's time to get back to being the idea man. Forget about soap with a slot, better ways to clean your gutters, and shaving your own bits. You need to monetize this radio show so that Paul, Andy, and Eric see some cash from it and then cut back on their PFW duties. Andy's applauding. Anything, you know,
that gets me
sitting around and talking.
No. You missed that point. It's money.
Let some other schmucks
I'll go with the just sitting around and talking. Yes.
Let some other schmucks do some writing for a change.
His name is Eric.
Once the show generates some scratch for its talent, go 5 days a week. You have two studios now. Let EEI do their own thing. You can still have a show on Mondays and Fridays. And don't even bring up that, I can't even say it, Adam Jones. Oh. They can work the schedule around yours.
Yeah.
Short of that, how about 11 to 2 for every show?
I'm on.
Please, Fred, your people are clamoring for more PFW in Progress.
You'll get the opportunity to fund this soon, I promise you. This is a teaser, but soon enough you'll have the opportunity to fund Paul and Andy.
I think, though, the problem is sometimes more isn't better.
Oh, more would be better.
I think it is.
Well, maybe for you.
The rants
maybe
that I unleash on you up in the office
at 10 my paycheck, it
would be great on this microphone at 11. The way I whooped your butt this morning.
I don't even know what he's talking about.
Sometimes I just tune him out, Fred. Yeah.
The way I whooped your butt when you broke down Tyron Smith, exactly how Chris Collinsworth told you to think about him instead of actually making
I was very
assessment.
Impressed with Tyron Smith.
Yeah, because Chris Collinsworth told you to be. Watch a game, Fred. Watch the game.
Oh, you don't think he's good?
I do think he's good. He's not the dominant freak you think he is. Anybody who does karaoke while on the field trying to block defensive ends is not dominant.
3 years,
do you know what karaoke is? Do you even know what karaoke is?
First of all, karaoke is singing. It's dancing.
Oh, thank you very much. That's the ignorance of Fred Kirsch. Learn the game, Fred. Somebody email in and tell Fred.
At the drill when you cross over.
Oh, that's football related, isn't it?
The crossover drill. But listen to me.
I've said enough.
Listen to me. You have said enough. In 3 years, he will be one of the best left tackles in the league, hands down.
First, he'll have to switch positions, right?
Or right tackle. He's the real deal. There's no doubt about it.
I agree with you
100%. And if you think you're so good at the draft, you would agree with me.
I like
him. Do you agree with me or not?
He was my top
Do you agree with me or not?
Go check
Do you agree
the blog.
With me or not?
Go.
Do you agree? Do you agree?
Check
yes or no?
The blog.
I am.
Who did I have as my top tackle?
Is it Smith?
Yes.
Then you agree. So
yes.
Just say you agree.
But he is
End
no better
story.
Right now than your guy, Nate Solder.
No, but unlike you, I can project.
They are the same.
Unlike you, I can see a player and project his greatness
actually,
into the NFL.
I can as well. You ever hear the guy that played?
Vernon Gulston.
You ever hear the guy that helped the Packers
Vernon
win the
Gulston.
Super Bowl? Who told you about James Starks?
Vernon Gulston.
6 freaking months before anybody else in football had heard of him.
James Starks had 2 good games. Let's see how good he is.
And he won a Super
Bowl. As opposed to Tyron Smith's long and distinguished career.
But he's saying he's proven fat right now. He's got a proven fat.
But you're making fun of him. He projected Tyron Smith to be the top tackle in the draft.
But he's no better than Nate Solder right now. One guy has great footwork. His name is Nate Solder. The other guy is better up top, I think. His name is Tyron Smith.
He makes fun of me. Both will be Pro Bowl tackles. Tyron Smith and saying he's going to be. He makes fun of me. And he did the same thing.
But you're saying that he can't judge young talent.
He's not good at it.
He's not good at being a scout of young talent. I want to continue this because I like when you guys are yelling at each other.
I think you're replacing you at the combine with Ray Ray.
Okay, listen.
Okay. Eric still won't score. They can evidently share a bet.
Belichick said whatever the league does, they'll announce in regards to Haynesworth. So no resolution to whether or not there'll be any discipline on Haynesworth.
Well, ESPN has reported no.
ESPN says, according to a source, there will not be any discipline coming.
From the NFL or from the Patriots? Or both?
No, from the NFL.
Okay, well, the Patriots could still do something.
I'm going to put that.
But I doubt it.
I'm going to put that at less than 0% chance.
I'm just saying we don't know the answer definitively yet.
Your best show in years today. You missed the beginning, Paul, when Fred couldn't complete a sentence. Every sentence he would forget how to say a single word in the sentence. And what was the word he used, Matt? Graciadociousness?
Braggadocious?
Braggadociousness or something. It was classic Fred Kirsch.
Who used that word?
Had like 25 syllables. And then he's saying, what am I thinking of? No, Andy, can you? What am I thinking of? He wanted me to guess what he was thinking of.
Did you ever notice that the crap sheet, every time Belichick actually mentions the word football in an answer,
thinks it's groundbreaking?
It's schooling. Yes, Belichick's schooling, again, just broke down precisely how he teaches players one play, many levels. Did he never play football? Like, if you're 8 years old and you're on a Pop Warner football field, how many different levels does it take to teach an 8-year-old to play? Isn't there a lot?
He knows as little about football as anyone that's ever covered this team.
I mean, listen, I have more respect for Belichick's coaching acumen than a lot of people. But the fact that you have to actually incorporate a lot of different levels to put a play into your playbook is not groundbreaking stuff. But we'll all be looking forward to that blog post later.
Wow, we're just all irritated.
The crap sheet.
Days of training camp, and we're pissy.
Earlier we were talking about the
I just want to have you guys get back to yelling at each other. That's high comedy.
Earlier we were talking about how the Jets are building up Plaxico, and John writes in, gents.
Oh, that's the part I missed.
We didn't talk about it.
I missed that.
Yes, we did. Bad. Well, it's the whole thing about Rex Ryan building up his players.
Oh, yeah,
that's
part
of that rant. But John says, gents, Plax beat third stringer Fred Bennett for that TD.
Correct.
Tony Bennett would have had a better chance to break that up. He also, John, has something interesting.
Which would have made me feel better if Ocho Cinco could have done that, too. That's all.
Al from Georgia, why does it always come back to a comparison to the Patriots?
No,
you can't.
Fred, you're right. I didn't necessarily mean it as a comparison to Plax. I was meaning it to our earlier conversation from Al about the wide receivers. But you're right. It came off as a comparison. I didn't mean it that way. You're right. When you're right, you're right. I got to admit it. When you're right, you're right.
John also says, and this goes back to, you know, he was asking how Patriots seem to have like two of each kind of receiver, and they're very.
That's what I was kind of talking about, yeah, Al's conversation.
John writes, Belichick breaks up his receivers on the draft board and on his roster into basketball positions. He has his guards, Welker and Branch, small forwards, Ocho Price, and power forwards, Hernandez. Lombardi has explained how they came up with this in Cleveland to determine what kind of receivers the team needed.
They? Who's they, Bill?
No, back
I think
in
Lombardi is on the crap sheets level when it comes to football knowledge.
Oh, yeah. No. No, not even close.
Well, he actually worked for a team.
And he knows whether it's puffed or stuffed.
That's true. But listening to Michael Lombardi talk about the Patriots is like listening to Fred talk about the Patriots.
Let's see. Shot at Lombardi or Fred?
Nathan writes in Lombardi. From Southern California.
Fred actually.
South California.
Fred, you know, we're all actually employed by the Patriots. He's not.
Well. Not that you know of.
What do you think about Razai Dowling? What will be his role this year? I was hoping he'd be a big, strong corner that contributed, but it seems likely so far that he might not even play. What do you think?
Well, he's back on the practice field.
Yeah.
So I would say
that's making a step forward.
That's a full week of practice, hopefully, and maybe he gets on the field on on Saturday.
Now, Paul, you talked to Albert Groh about him.
I did not.
He did his thing.
No, the other Perillo brother did.
Oh, the good Perillo did.
Some might look at it that way.
Talk about his football IQ?
I don't recall.
Because we've seen two extremes here, I would say, with first-round picks. And he was basically a first-round pick, 33rd. Brandon Merriweather took forever to get on the field. There was all that. He would have been cut if he weren't a first-round pick. Talk from Fred Smirlis, blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
Devin McCourty went the other way. Devin McCourty played the Gerard Mayo role and was on the field, was, you know, ready to go.
By week three, he looked like he had been there for 10 years.
Which way does Rozai Dowling fall?
I think that the biggest problem, I mean, it's not anything groundbreaking, but it's just all health.
No. You know? But I'm saying, is he a guy that can make up having missed 2 weeks of camp, or is he a guy that couldn't possibly
see? I think mentally he's going to struggle anyway because of the lack of preparation, but to me it's more physical with him.
See, I think it's all mental right now, because if he is not in Devin McCourty's league, I think there's zero chance he's a contributor.
See, I'm not sure Devin McCourty could have been Devin McCourty last year.
No.
With
but
the amount of
my opinion
last year, he had lost.
Oh, see, I think he would have. I think he would have been in the mix by a month into the season. To me, if Rozai Dowling is in any way leaning towards Brandon Merriweather, his rookie season's already over. Thanks for playing. You had no offseason. You missed 2 weeks of training camp. There's zero chance you can be anything more than special teamer slash seventh
corner.
I don't
look at it as black and white as that, as you do. I
didn't say anything about Jason Sehorn.
See, now that's just poor to me.
The first white corner I could think of.
It's the only white corner.
Are there any others right now?
Well, that's why he was famous, is because he was a white corner. I think he was the only one in the league at the time.
Yeah. I mean, Weddle's a safety, right?
Yeah, Weddle's a safety.
Yeah, there's a fair amount of white safeties.
Yeah.
How many white corners are there? None right now? Cortland Finnegan?
No.
No?
Simon is from the old
Even
Cock Inn.
I mean, if we're going to get into the, you know,
mixed race,
we'll all end up, you know, with some FCC violations.
We don't fall under FCC sanctions. We fall under RKK sanctions and JAK sanctions.
Simon is lives near the Old Cock Inn. I thought usually it's ye old, but it's just old. Anyway,
is that your place?
Why did you decide to stop right as you said that word?
Ye?
Sometimes it's hard to forget.
Having recently discovered the wonder of internet radio on my Android phone, I listened to EEI for the first time yesterday. Now, my experience of sports radio is pretty much limited to you guys in Test Match Special, which is a cricket show, in case you have to ask Eric. And I realize that EEI is a more commercial station than Patriots.com or the BBC. But I listened to that drivel for 40 minutes. Don't ask me which show it was because they all sound the same to my English ears. And I must have heard 30 to 35 minutes of advertisements, 40 minutes, and they took one call. So I'm in 40 minutes. So I'm one and done with EEI and back home to you guys.
Yeah.
I guess I'll have to remain ignorant of the liposuction discounts available to me in the Boston area. Rant over. On a football note, if Spikes and Fletcher are both out for the opener, who starts at the mic? Do they have to move Mayo over? I don't see Guyton manning the middle in a 4-3, although he didn't practice yesterday either.
I would say Guyton would start in the middle.
Yeah, Guyton came in for Fletcher on last Thursday
Who
night.
Who has to cover more in a 4-3, the Will or the middle linebacker?
The Will.
The Will does.
Yes.
Okay.
It goes from outside in.
All right.
Responsibilities.
The other thing I brought up in the beginning of the show was the Belichick interview yesterday. They talking about the kickoff rule again, and, you know, Belichick is adamant that they might as well just put the ball at the 20 because that's really what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
I think he's right about
that. You can't disagree, but he also brought up point after. And he said in football, the point after really is a non-play. The clock isn't running during it. You know, it's set up, and it's basically a chip shot for the guy. And he's saying they might as well get rid of that too, mm-hmm. or, you know, move it back and make it, you know, something that's not 99% sure of happening. Do you agree or disagree?
I guess I agree.
I disagree. Why should they get rid of it?
Well, what about this then?
Why not just give them 7 points?
You know, you still have, obviously.
Because you do still have to go through and make it.
Well, what about this, though?
It's not like they have never been missed. There'll be five to 10 are missed every year.
But it is 90-whatever%.
No, I agree with that. But, I mean, why?
Well, every once in a while on a, you know, intentional walk, the pitcher throws it past the catcher, but, you know.
There's all kinds of things like, I mean, on 4th and inches, every team in the league will have a 90% success rate, but you don't know when the one they're going to miss is.
Right.
Well, how about, you know, keeping obviously the 2-point conversion, you know, where it is, keep that, because that's kind of a 50-50 chance, I think, you know.
Probably. That sounds, I mean, I don't know the numbers,
but
that sounds about
right.
And
then if you want to go for the point after, a couple things, you either move it back, you know, or you can't go for a point after if you're within the 10-yard line. So if you're inside the 10, you have to go for a two.
You mean a field goal?
Yeah, forget it. I'm talking field goals.
I was wondering what you were talking about.
Yeah, I got mixed up.
If you wanted to change the game, I think I'd be more apt to want to change the game that way.
Yeah.
If you're inside the 10-yard line, you know, no field goals from inside 30 yards.
Right.
So if the field goal is going to be inside 30 yards, you have to go for it on fourth down.
I think that would quicken the game up. I think it would make it more exciting.
Now, I don't think they should do that because I think it's a good game the way it is. I don't really think it needs to be so dramatically changed.
But I think what Bill is talking about is the overall kicking thing. You know, I don't think he wants to get rid of field goals, but, you know, why don't we look at the whole special teams, you know, and, you know, what would make the game better? Because really field goals are a holdover from years ago when there was more kicking in the game of football back before they had even pads on.
Well, the other issue is how good kickers are now.
Yeah,
they didn't used to be that good.
I don't think it's any more kicking. It's the success rate.
But he's
now you're making 85% of your kicks.
He's missing the point.
But if you were to like come down from outer space and look at the game of football, don't you think it's kind of odd? You do all this, you know, plays from scrimmage and tackling and all this stuff, and then all of a sudden you come out and you kick the ball. It just doesn't. If you looked at it from afar and you never knew the game, you would think that that's out of place. Like, why are you doing that? You know,
I just think that that's the nature of the sport. I think you could do that with every single sport. You know, in hockey, you could sit there and say you spend the whole game trying to advance the puck forward and trying to score. But when you're shorthanded, you don't worry about anything. You just shoot the puck down the ice.
But that's a strategy.
But that's what I'm saying, you have to play defense. But if you ever looked, if you came down from outer space, to use your analogy here, you're trying to score goals, except for when you're not trying to score goals. You're just trying to get the puck out of the way and keep it from.
Or you
from getting
you always net. Play with a goalie, except when you pull the goalie.
When you pull the goalie.
Like there's just aspects of every game that are different.
But you do that though.
It's part of the rules.
I know this is part of the rules too and how the game is played. But
you play soccer with a clock except when there's no clock and then nobody knows when the game ends.
But my point is kicking in football. I mean even the name football is kind of counterintuitive to how the game is played. Kicking in football is a holdover from when the game was played without pads and the Boston Common with Yale and Princeton and all that
Tufts.
Crap.
But do you think that they kick the ball less often now than they used to?
No, I don't.
But I think the act of kicking the ball is
a holdover from those days, and they kept that aspect in the game.
But you throw the ball in soccer, right? Isn't that a thing where you do this?
Yeah, but once it's on the field of play, you're not allowed to use your hands.
Yes, but in football, when you're not kicking the ball, you're not kicking the ball.
I mean, you're not allowed to kick it except for when you're kicking the ball.
Like you can do that.
That's a penalty if you kick the ball.
We saw it last week.
But you know, they don't stop a hockey game and all of a sudden in the middle of the game have a shootout. You know what I mean?
Well,
but they don't stop the game.
But you kind of do. You stop the game and you have this kick.
Well, football stops every 10 seconds.
But that's
it's the nature of the game.
But what are you suggesting that they do? I mean, you want to just change all the rules of the game.
I want to change the rules. I want to
say. But why?
Because I want to get it to more.
Because you don't like punting?
I don't like the special teams aspect of it.
Well, I thought it was one-third of the game. You've been telling me that for 11 years
now. Well, it is because it has to be.
It really isn't, though, because you just said it's not that.
You know, I would like to take out maybe even field goals altogether. But I think that.
I don't understand.
Maybe inside the 20, you're not allowed to go for a field goal.
Okay, I don't get it. I mean, I'm gonna just keep it the same.
You know, I don't really understand what's
after,
wrong with it.
There is no kicking point after. There is only the 2-point conversion, or you can kick for 2 points, but you have to go from 45.
Okay, I'm just not into changing the rules of games generally.
That's interesting. If you had to kick it from 45 yards out, do you think teams would line up from the 2-yard line or kick it from 45 yards out? 2 points for either one.
Depends on your kicker. I think probably about a third would kick it and two-thirds would go for it.
I think most would kick.
Really?
Yeah. I think 45-yarders, I think they make them, 80% of the time? Maybe 70% of the time?
Well, I don't know.
But Andy's right. Unless you had a really bad kicker. Yeah, you know, I think Gostkowski would make that.
Oh, I think the Patriots would kick it all every time.
Nine out of 10 times.
But I think there's a lot of other teams that would have to go for it. I feel like I see a lot of bad kickers in the league.
See, I don't.
Don't you think the whole point after
I think all the kickers in the league are the same, to be honest.
Don't you think that would make just the point after that much more of an exciting part of football?
Why does football need to be more exciting?
Why not?
But what is what?
I like football.
Where are you lacking excitement?
I think the point after is a ho hum. They line it. You don't even watch it.
But until they miss it.
But it's literally 99% of the time they make it.
So who cares?
So there's one extra point that is not necessarily an exciting play, and I agree, it's a ho hum play. So we have to revamp the way the whole game is played because this one play doesn't meet your excitement.
The kicking aspect of the game.
But the bigger issue is the kicking was changed on kickoffs because of safety. That was the issue.
Right.
And if
that's
he
why
wants
I don't
to make
get
this
Bill's
play
thing
different,
about extra points.
You're making it less safe. If you make everybody go for two, that's another play where they could get injured because I can't imagine many people get injured on PATs. Right. And if you make it a longer field goal, there's a greater chance of injury.
Yeah, well, I'm not considering safety. That's not part of my thing.
But the league is.
But that's
I know.
That's
I know.
Why the league did this with the kickoffs.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I don't get Bill's comparison. I don't get the analogy.
I'll tell you what I need to do. I need to get in his ear and see if I get the goalpost put back on the goal line.
No, he did address, you know, and he understands that the league is doing it for safety, but his thinking is that, okay, so now they're running from the 35. They're still running pretty fast. You know,
well, I think the safety thing's overrated, personally. But the whole 5-yard moving thing, there is still 15 yards that you can gain speed between where you are where the guy is you're going
to
hit.
It's when you get to top speed. It's not the running start. How long does it get to run to top speed?
That's where it gets to. I think they're being disingenuous. They're saying it's not. We don't want to take that play out of the game.
Right.
We're just trying to increase safety. Well, in actuality, you're trying to increase safety
by taking
that play out of the game.
And
that's
it's
what
not
you're
on
doing.
The way down that most of the injuries. It's on the way back when the guy has the ball.
That's what you're doing, and you're just not saying it. You're hoping that there are more touchbacks because those touchbacks are safe plays. So it's not. I agree
with
the argument.
But that's why I think the 5-yard thing is so overrated. Because
if there were no
the collision between the coverage guy and the guy who's going to get hurt in that collision is 40 yards away. He's the guy down in the middle of the formation. He's Will Yeatman and these guys on the wing. It's not the guy. And I still think you could also get hurt in a 15-yard run up just as well as you could with a 20-yard run up. But it's really 50 yards.
If you could tell me right now, whatever the number of touchbacks was last year.
It's,
I don't know.
It's doubled already.
If they were 38% touchbacks last year, if you could tell me right now, moving it up 5 yards, it's still going to be 38% touchbacks, there will be the same amount of injuries this year as there were last
right.
year. The only reason why injuries will go down is because those plays will lessen.
That's absolutely.
There will be less of those chances
right.
for guys to get hurt because touchbacks, as Bill said, and I agree, are going to go up.
Yep. Yep. They've already had
Andy's right. Andy's absolutely right. Don't tell me from the 35-yard line you can't get enough speed up to injure a wedge guy.
I agree. It's you can get up to top speed
or to get hurt yourself by getting hit by a wedge
guy. Well, you can't, but most people could.
Need I remind you that I beat you in 17 sports?
Why do you go there all the time? You just set yourself up.
Because unlike your little mellings that follow you to the water and you push their face in, don't believe that when I get 61 push-ups and you get 30
in the same amount
what
of time,
the hell is a melling?
In the same amount of time, you had twice as many push-ups.
Right, which shows
you think maybe you were doing them a little differently
which
than
is,
me.
Which is sort of like how in the same amount of time, the Patriots had 52 points and Joe Gibbs Redskins had 7.
Yeah.
They were that much damn better.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit different.
No, I don't. Yeah. You're the old Coot Gibbs team. I am the young guns, best there ever
you
was.
Don't
push-up
even believe
machine.
Your own
crap.
Okay.
And the scoreboard said, "You lose, loser."
Yeah. Well, you know. Only cheaters, you know.
I had the most
cheaters
unbiased.
I don't know how you
counter.
Sleep at night. I don't know
I
how
had
you
the
sleep
most
at,
unbiased
you have
counter.
30
I
years
had
on
a
me.
Religious man.
30? Is it 30 or 20?
I had a religious.
20.
You're 20 years on me.
I had a religious man who I hate and who hates me counting for me. And he said I beat you by 30
years. Scalavino push-ups. Doesn't know what a push-up looks like.
I'm just saying, he hates me, I hate
just
him.
Because he can't do them because his nose gets in the way. Doesn't mean he doesn't know what it looks like.
He does them on his knees.
Not the only thing he does on his knees.
I don't know how you sleep at night. I really don't.
Quite well.
You should be
on my large chest that kicked your ass.
I don't know how you live with yourself.
on your large chest.
I sleep on my stomach a lot. Not drilling for oil, though.
Mike writes in, here's a conspiracy theory for a Tuesday. I recently read Home Team, the book by Sean Payton, head coach of the 2009 Super Bowl champion New Orleans Saints. He described the ambush onside kick that they started the second half with. And I couldn't help but think that Bill Polian must have had a role in the most recent kickoff rule changes. By lining up 5 yards behind the ball instead of 10, the gunners can't build up as much speed and end up getting to the onside kick less quickly than they could before. Hey, Polian's done worse, hasn't he? Also, I don't think that the gunners lining up only 5 yards from the ball has any impact on their ability to get down the field. You can tell that even when the kicks aren't being touched back, that the cover guys are already downfield swarming the returner. Right. Part of the problem with the new kickoff rules is that the gunners are now lining up 10 yards further up the field. When the ball was at the 30-yard line, gunners had to line up at the 20. But now they are lining up at the 30. That's 10 fewer yards that they have to cover while getting down the field. Loving the show as always. I'm getting super psyched for a great season this year. I was at a wedding over the weekend, and there were some diehard Chargers fans. I mentioned that the Pats were going to be scary this year, and everyone pretty much laughed at me. I just smiled and said, just wait.
Why would they laugh at you?
Oh, they're Charger fans.
No, but
they don't watch the games.
I think the Chargers could be scary this year. I wouldn't laugh at anyone that said the Chargers are going to be good or the Jets are going to be good. Or...
Right.
Why would you laugh at the
Big injury then. Stephen Cooper tore a bicep. Yeah.
Career over, they said there.
Oh, really?
2 to 3
over
months,
there.
It said.
I don't know if his career is over. Torn bicep. Interesting.
That's another one of those injuries that happens at the NFL level when they learn nutrition.
He's a proven, right?
I believe
caught
so.
With a gym bag full of stuff?
I believe so.
He's from down my way. He was playing when I was
Patrick Creighton also had some surgery, bone spurs in the ankle. But he's only going to be out for a couple of weeks.
And Floyd got hurt, you know, too.
Floyd.
Malcolm.
Oh yeah. I actually saw that play.
It's funny. So far behind, because normally he would have said, Patriots luck, week two, and the Chargers get all these injuries.
Oh, no, I don't think
so. Say it like that, like Fat Albert?
No,
he just says it like Fat Paul.
Stephen Cooper is significant, but I think the other one, I mean, I don't know about Floyd.
Oh, I think Floyd is significant.
But wasn't it just a concussion I saw?
That's easy for you to say.
Yeah, well, but until it's deemed a serious one that's going to keep him out for the whole year or something, I assume he'll be back in a couple of weeks. Do you think Woodhead's out for the year? I don't.
I have no idea.
No, but do you think?
I asked you. He had a concussion late last year, and he's got a concussion now. I think that's bad.
I think he'll be ready for the opening game.
I do too, but I don't. But seasons and end seasons with the exact same concussion.
I'm not going to pull a Fred on you and tell you can't judge injuries at, you know, to young guys. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to throw it back in your face if you're wrong.
Well, I'm always right.
But
with
I generally, when a guy
well.
Gets a concussion, I generally think he's going to.
I said Brett Lockett tore his groin. I said Wes Walker tore his ACL.
Way,
I mean, I'm right.
We immediately said that's a torn groin. Yeah, Matt's nodding his head because he was.
Somebody
with us.
Said it was a thigh injury.
Well, that's what they announced.
Yeah, right.
They announced the Patriots announced
ass.
The high, you know, I was like he tore his groin. Matter of fact, we said it. Immediately before the card even came out, we had said it.
And he didn't even get toasted by a guy in the Super Bowl and then pretend he did, like Eugene Wilson.
Right.
We saw the replay and saw him grab at his leg, and they both said torn groin right away.
That wasn't his leg.
By the way, in the interest of fairness, we like to say this about other players. That is an injury that you tend to get when you learn nutrition at the NFL level.
Let's see. Brad from the Eastern Shores on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Brad.
Hey, guys. It took Fred a while to get his tongue untied, but great show.
Thank you. I'm feeling the passion, too. This is one of our better shows lately.
I tell you, Andy, you've gone from zero to hot just about 16 times.
That's true.
It's really enjoyable to watch.
I'm like Dennis Rodman. I bounce back quick. You know how he used to jump twice before anybody else could jump once? That's what I am in a fight with Fred.
I think the extra point has been killed by TV. You have ads right after the touchdown now. You know, then you have the kick, then you have you have the extra point, which is like everybody's just showing the replays of the touchdown. Then you have ads, then you have kickoff, then you have ads. And you're right, it's this big, long delay with no time going off the clock. And now with the kickoff being
worthless. I think that's
a good
point, actually. I think most people know those commercials are coming, and that lets them go and do something while the extra point's happening.
Oh, exactly. That's what I'm saying. As soon as the touchdown happens, they wait and watch the one replay, and then they're going to the fridge or the John or wherever until, you know, 3, 4, 5 minutes have gone by because now the kickoffs aren't going to be worth watching either.
Unless it's a Patriots preseason game, then you don't even get the replay.
Well, that may be. watching them online, I don't have to worry about stuff like that.
So video killed the PAT.
But, you know, I think now with the kickoff rules, it is. It's going to be mass exodus. As soon as the touchdown scored.
Hadn't just thought of that, by the way. Now you're lumping the two together, and you have two useless plays back-to-back.
Right.
The PAT and the touchback.
Yeah, more and more I'm with Bill. I'm not.
Anyway, guys, I want to tell you.
These are non-plays now. Non-plays.
It's been a great 5 years listening to you guys. I've taken a new job out in Western Maryland. Finally going to be able to get back with the family full time. With a new bank. Not sure I'm going to be able to get Patriots.com.
Yes, you are.
But
on your cell phone. Get a nice app and listen on your cell phone.
Well, I'm hoping to be able to do that.
But, no hope. Make it your priority.
Just as somebody that lives and has lived for 20-plus years away from New England, you guys are absolutely a weekly godsend. And whoever wrote in and said, have it for 3 hours, I agree. Have it 5 days a week, I agree, especially during the season.
I think I just got bit by a spider.
I've listened to EEI, too, and it is worthless. You get 30 minutes of ads for every 35 minutes. So,
Brad, we thank you so much.
Thanks, Brad.
Listeners like you that make us go. So thanks for the call.
And don't look at this as a conclusion to you listening to PFW Progress. Look at it as an opportunity for you to spread the word about the PFW verse. This new job, you have potential new listeners for us.
That's right.
Everybody's got an iPhone or a fancy BlackBerry that can get it on their app. Download the Patriots app or get yourself a tablet. Do something and listen.
Tell your friends or tell a teller.
Do they know that if we could get 30 minutes of commercials that would make us rich, we would play 30 minutes of commercials?
If we had the commercial, we'd play. Tiffany in Wisconsin writes in, can you guys please tell me if I'm off the mark on this one? My friend and I were debating the Patriots signing of Chad. My friend loves Randy Moss. He thinks he's the greatest wide receiver since Jerry Rice. I also agree with that. He suggested that Chad sucks because Moss was able to figure out the Patriots offense and he didn't play in the preseason. I argued that Chad is a good wide receiver and is a hard worker, but he won't be like Moss in any way. I heard Bill Belichick always stress that Moss is a very smart football player, and many of us couldn't witness his ability because much was done in practice and not on game day. To add, Jerry Moss said Moss didn't put forth effort in practice but was able to perform well when he wanted to. To me, that means that Randy Moss was a gifted athlete and a football, dare I say it, genius. In comparison, Chad seems to not be that great. Are we judging Chad too harshly because he doesn't look like Randy Moss out there? Can you guys speak to that? So are we setting the bar too high for Chad, I guess,
well,
is the question.
If you think he's Randy Moss, yes. But I think we've done a good job of trying to tell people he's not Randy Moss.
Yeah, I do think there's an element of that happening, though, in the general public.
Yeah.
I think people
and I
remember
think his own
when,
mind.
When Moss came here, people remember what happened and how quickly it happened. And I think that people, rightly or wrongly, look at Ocho Cinco like they did Moss.
So here's what
here's
we need to
do. Here's this great wide receiver who played for another team,
right.
And now we have him. This is what he's going to do.
Let's remember what happened when Donald Hayes came here, and then we'll be okay.
But it's not the same thing.
But there are a million.
I'm only kidding.
There
it's
are
a joke, for God's sake.
But your joke is accurate. There's a million examples.
No, there are. You know,
no, but Donald Hayes was not Chad Ocho Cinco.
No, but.
He didn't have 7,000-yard seasons
there,
and four 1,400-yard seasons.
A good amount of guys that were pretty productive, maybe not Ocho Cinco productive, but pretty good players that just couldn't do it here.
But the comparison,
they just didn't
the comparison is the two guys that did. That's the problem. Randy Moss had the greatest receiving season in franchise history. Corey Dillon had the greatest rushing season in franchise history. That's what he faces. That's the challenge. And to the same degree, Haynesworth faces the same thing.
Yeah.
The expectation is he should have the greatest defensive tackle season.
The irony of all of this is...
And what's the chances of that? I mean...
Zero.
Aren't the law of averages against the team?
Yes.
You know, yeah.
I think...
Randy Moss shouldn't have been able to do what he did, in my opinion. I don't think you should just roll out of bed, catch 180 and three touchdowns, and just stay on that same pace for an entire season. I think that's hard to do.
That's true.
But he did it.
But I think the irony of is the whole thing, we made these two huge trades almost off the go in training camp with Haynesworth and then Ocho Cinco. And I think all the moves that they've made since are guys
we've
that
seen
I think
more return over.
They
yeah.
may be more
yeah.
productive.
Right.
And this team is going to be very good. We all agree on that, even you, Fred.
I'm coming around to
he's
them.
Not yeah. willing to
even
put him
Fred,
in the Super Bowl.
I'm coming
Fred,
around to
even
him.
Fred,
he
I'm
mocked
not
me.
To put him in
he
Super
mocked
Bowl
me for thinking they're a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, they're certainly a Super Bowl contender.
Fred doesn't think so.
I think they were a Super Bowl contender last year. I think they've improved.
Fred and I now just spend the whole show putting words in the other one's
well,
mouth.
Well, I know how he does it. Believe me. I'm like I said, I'm very much enjoying watching you.
I say they're 15-1 because of the tough schedule.
Right, that was the Fred Kirschism.
Right.
But not going to the Super Bowl, so another disappointing.
I didn't say
season.
That.
But
did
I think
say
those
that?
Two.
You did.
No, I didn't.
Those two headline grabbers that we all got so excited about, and I'm not writing them off, but I think they could end up being
afterthoughts.
You know, just another,
you're right.
Just another acquisition.
Yes.
With Andre Carter and Mark Anderson and Sean Ellis and Gerard Warren even and some of the other guys that have come in. Taylor Price I would consider an acquisition because he didn't play last year,
right.
Even though he's not technically a,
right.
a newcomer. I think there are guys that have a chance to be a part of this team that may do every bit as much as Ocho and Haynesworth, and I think it's going to be a very good team.
It would be ironic.
That's what I said. The ironic part of the whole thing.
James Pettigrew writes in.
Call Alanis Morissette and check.
The world's most interesting Patriots fan. He says,
"Thank
hello.
You.
Hello, biatches.
Thank you for lunch.
Strong show, gents. Strong show. I feel my
strong
lunch
show.
Investment is really getting me good returns. Anywho.
I got it early today. You can tell the difference
do
when I get the sub early.
Just talk right over the emailer.
It's just some chump that's beating me by 200 points in Words with Friends.
Anywho, great game, and as most fans do, I'm reading everything into the last game. Was it only me that got a little bored of our offense being on the field? How long has it been since we had a real positive feeling about the defense? Screw bend but don't break. I much prefer this let's break the quarterback's legs. I'm not sure if it was Zoe who said it, but it seemed the defense played chippy, which makes a nice change from the aloof way we do things. All right, Lions next, and if you can't think of a word, Andy, pass.
Ooh.
I guess Andy's getting his
butt
kicked
you
in Words with Friends.
Thank
certainly
you, James.
By him. I'm doing a lot of butt kicking, but he's good. Tracy in Vegas also whooped my ass.
Brooklyn Matt writes in.
Oh, boy.
He says, Andy, what do you know?
Your mother.
Hey, Andy, earlier Fred
said... Biblically, bitch.
Hey, Andy, earlier Fred said that a Patriot, it was Chad Ocho Cinco, was playing lounge music in the locker room. You asked, what's that? When Fred gave you further clarification, you know, crooners, you were still befuddled. Nice one, Einstein. That's exactly the ignorance I'd expect out of someone who said Katy Perry is catchy. Andy,
well,
is there
that's
anything
ignorant.
Which happened
if you worked
you
in the music industry
do
and don't think Katy Perry is catchy, that's why you no longer work in the music industry, you turd.
Listen, far be it from me to defend the big head. But didn't she just become the first woman ever to get 5 number one hits
yes,
on the same
Yes, but not
CD?
Catchy. Not catchy.
That's not catchy.
What a moron.
Wow.
Okay. That was a stupid statement.
Hey, girl.
He's either ignorant or he's one of those pompous music people that no pop music could be considered good music. Either way, he's an idiot.
Which was the basis of our whole, we think
right.
music is overrated.
Right.
Because if you like the kind of music that Andy and I like, you don't really know music.
Right.
It's kind of like soccer aficionados.
Right.
You don't really know.
Well, people who said that Titanic wasn't a good movie because too many people liked it.
Right. That's so stupid.
Who said that?
A lot of people.
What the hell are you doing?
I've heard a lot of people say it was overrated. I haven't heard anybody say they didn't like it because everybody liked it.
Well, the masses liked it. It was a movie for the masses.
And that means it couldn't be
right,
good.
Right.
That's a perfect analogy then. Right.
That's
perfect.
The pompous asses that I think
that's,
of when I think
that's
of
soccer
Brooklyn
fans.
Matt. Yes. And, soccer
and
fans.
Music.
Highbrow
you know, real,
music.
Real music lovers.
Not commercial music. I'm sorry. I thought we were trying to make money.
Let's see. Theodore.
Give the people what they want. Whatever happened to
God
that mentality.
Forbid. Food. There's a similar thing with food. Why give them a bacon cheeseburger that they'll love when I can give them a little teeny piece of a duck in the middle of a plate with a scribbly sauce around the edge of the plate?
Scribbly
That's much better.
Sauce.
They're going to go home freaking hungry and need Twinkies on the way home. No, give them the burger. That's what they want.
Speaking of Twinkies, we had the fried Twinkie.
I think he's had a 10-hour energy today.
we had the fried Twinkie yesterday.
Oh, it sucks.
Yeah.
Sucked.
Not good. Not highly endorsed.
Toby Keith's is good. I liked the look, the atmosphere, my wrap. The buffalo wings were good.
My
Don't
rack.
Get the bone wraps.
Oh.
Oh, I liked the racks, too.
Oh, I know you did.
Blows a Hooters away any day. They have
I
girls
like
in.
I'm passionate but, about breasts.
See, what they're missing Boots. At, what they're missing at, what's this guy's name?
Toby Keith.
Is the great thing about the Twinkie is not the stuffing, it's the golden cake.
Right.
And the frying
Killed
either
it.
takes away the taste of the golden cake or it's not a Twinkie.
Right.
To begin with.
It was wrong. There
right.
was something wrong
yeah.
with it. It didn't have enough flavor.
The golden cake is what makes a Twinkie, not the inside
right.
stuffing.
It was terrible.
It was not good.
And for a place that
everything
only has
else,
two desserts, for that to be one of your desserts and for it to suck.
Everything else, that's the second time I've been to Toby Keith's and I really enjoy it.
Right.
I just, that's the first time I tried the fried.
The
Twinkie.
Redhead with short hair, smoking.
I wouldn't get it again.
Did you guys go to Toby Keith's
yesterday?
Why?
To eat.
We went to lunch.
Kevin told me to ask.
So. Why the hell else would we go there?
I
think he's trying to set up some sort of a soundbite or something.
Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just out here being told what to say.
Tell him to go bleep himself.
Assert yourself a little bit. So, you know, so let it out.
And next time he volunteers to get dinner and then says, I'm going to send you to dinner, tell him to go bleep himself.
Yeah, that's going to be a little bit of a challenge on Saturday night with the country music festival going on.
Just go to the concessions.
Yeah. Oh. I don't know if I have enough money. You're really going to have to up our salary.
Plus, it goes in like a hot dog, comes out orange fire water.
Fire water.
I'll miss the second half.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Let's see. I should probably have food sent in for you guys on away games, huh? What do you think?
Yes. Like
that, what's that now?
Well, no. I mean, you're working, right?
Yes, we were working.
Yeah. I would hope.
No, hey, nose to the grindstone.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of that, I know some of our listeners are subscribers to Patriots Football Weekly, 1-800-494-PATS, if you're not. But
shame on you.
If we could get a little feedback on the new Read and React game page, some kind of quick hitters, different boxes, random thoughts, things of that nature. I know our circulation manager, Carol Hardy, her mother loves it, thinks it's a great, great addition to the paper.
Speaking a little bit to some of the older members of the media that cover the Patriots today in the locker room.
Cause older than you?
Oh, older than Fred.
Who? Paul Kenyon?
No. Glenn.
Marge.
Mark.
Howard.
Howard, those guys. I was asking questions about the AP stuff, and then I asked them if they had seen it,
and the AP,
and they did see it, and they liked it.
PA,
they did like it. The Read and React.
Okay, good. Okay, Theodore from
apparently
Jackson.
We do forget it.
We appeal to the over 70s. Yeah.
Well, that is our demo. That's why we have to change all the subscriptions from Florida in the winter to New England.
No,
in the summer.
The reason is because I think that caters to the younger crowd, and I thought that if anybody would think it stunk, it would be them.
Right. We're in a Twitter universe, Quick Hits, ESPN the magazine.
That's why I asked them.
We need to get a cheerleader in the paper. Should we do something like that?
Everybody
we
used to. We used to do a cheerleader spread.
But they didn't used to be hot and have big boobs. Now they do.
I just don't think you can do it any justice on a newspaper page. It needs to be a glossy magazine.
It could be 3D or something.
No, but you know, you don't have, like, Playboy magazine isn't printed on newspaper paper.
No.
Oh, I think people enjoy breasts no matter what it's printed on.
I mean, page 3 in England has done well.
Right?
Yeah.
But they, I'm going to be nice.
They show nip.
They have, I'm going to be nice.
We have some that look pretty good. I don't know whether it's Photoshop or not.
If we had the Dolphins, then I would be.
No, we
I'd
have some
in.
That look pretty good.
Redskins.
I mean, people are clicking
there.
Like
Raiderets,
crazy on their.
Chargers, I'm in.
You see, he's being negative again. We have some attractive cheerleaders.
We sure do.
Fred knows from experience. Does she really say, this is a stream of thought here, does she really say, hello, everyone-y, to open Patriots Today? She does?
Everyone-y?
Can you click that and see if you can play it? Open a couple Patriots Today's and see if
she... I don't think
you'll
have enough time.
Why, is it over?
Pretty much.
Oh, let's do another hour.
Louis, spent an hour and 45 minutes yelling at Fred.
I take a 10-hour energy. I want to get my money's worth out of it.
Louis from Illinois, great show as always. I had three things I wanted your opinion on. First off, after the emailer from Cuba, I read on Bleacher Report an article that Belichick may retire with Tom Brady. I know these are opinion articles, but what do you think?
Written by fans.
If that's possible. I mean, I guess
I can't
it
say
is
it's not possible.
Yeah, I guess it is possible, but there's no indication of that.
I just don't see Belichick showing any signs.
Oh, I thought he did last week on a question you asked.
Question I asked?
Yep.
Maybe he said, I'm going
to
retire?
Will decide where to put Josh Rod Mayo. He's played in the league 3 years now. You figure his average career is 12 years, so that means Belichick is within an 8-year window of retiring.
You know what you really got to do?
What?
You really got to actually get to the press conferences and maybe get a little of the,
the context.
Some of the context might have been lost.
Secondly,
that's how I took it on paper.
Is it just me or do you guys feel Aaron Rodgers is so overrated?
No.
I mean, they rave about him as the second coming of Joe Montana, although he did win a Super Bowl. In my eyes, he could win 10, and to me, he would never be as good as Tommy or Joe. Reason is he sat back 3 years learning everything. That's like starting out freshman year and not telling anyone except the Asian kid that these are tests called SAT, ACT. It's such a disgrace.
It doesn't seem appropriate, the Asian reference either.
No, I think Aaron Rodgers is everything they're saying.
I
think he's getting better every year.
If Ryan Mallett does succeed Tom Brady, but he doesn't do it now, He could never be considered great.
And by the way, if he wins 10 Super Bowls...
Because Aaron Rodgers was behind Brett Favre, I mean, that means he could never be considered on par with
and
Montana.
And where's the cutoff?
Because
Brady sat for a year, so where's the cutoff? You can sit one, you can sit a year and a half, but if you go to 2 years, you're not good.
And it would have been at minimum two.
Right.
Had the injury not happened.
Right.
Now, he may have supplanted Bledsoe the next year.
Right.
Because I think they were on their way to a middling season at best with Bledsoe.
How come I didn't hear about this diving thing? I would have gone to that. That looked really cool off the... Fine Arts Museum in Boston.
Yeah, some great pictures to that.
Andy, we got something for you.
Play it. Getting a little long.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toyota.
Try again. Rewind it. Re-rack it. Re-rack it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toyota.
It does say everyone.
No, she says hello, everyone. That's all.
It sounds like E to me.
Play it again.
One more time.
Play it again. Re-rack it.
Welcome to Toyota's.
I think it says one-y.
I don't know if she's saying every one-y.
I think
or
she's saying
she's just
everyone
and it sounds like E, but there's definitely an E in there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toyota's.
No, because she's from and. She says and.
And she's also three Ys. She likes to use Ys, so she added another one.
No, but she says
I'm
going
to ax her. I have to ax her.
Finally, Louis says, do you guys agree with Dion's opinion that when Rex or any Jet talks about the Pats, they do it in a sarcastic manner? As always, keep up the work and F the Jets. And by the way, if Chaz doesn't want the hoodie, tell him I'll take it. It's impossible to get Patriots merchandise in Chicago.
Yeah, I think a lot of the Jets talk toward the Patriots is sarcastic, yeah.
Right. But I think it should be.
Yeah.
I don't think you should be overly... praiseful. I mean, you want to knock them off.
Yeah, and one of the things I really like when Brady has his Patriot Monday appearances on WEEI here, he tends to be a little bit more cutting
right
on that radio appearance than he is normally.
Well, it's before Bill tells him what to say for the
right
week.
And that's where he said I hate the Jets.
Right.
You know, that to me, you know, I like that. I don't want to hear how great the other team is all the time.
Mutual admiration.
You know,
sucks.
I don't want to hear that all the time.
All right, well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress.
Take care, everyone.
Now, we will be back Thursday. I know we've missed the last couple Thursdays, but we'll be back Thursday for a regular 12 o'clock edition. We'll see you then.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.